of Weeds is the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed.
It's clear that this report was in the pipeline for some period of time. It's clear that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff went on national television on Sunday and said that he hadn't even read the executive summary. I consider that slow and inappropriate.
Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry yesterday stopped short of saying whether Bush should have issued an outright apology, but he called for the resignation of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Congressional reaction to the abuse scandal continues to grow, with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle expressing disappointment and anger with the administration's handling of the situation. Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont said on the Senate floor yesterday that the Pentagon's behavior has been unacceptable.
This administration has known about the incidents in Iraq for 5 months. This fact signals a failure of leadership at several levels.
President Bush has expressed some dissatisfaction about the manner in which he heard about the issue of prisoner abuse in Iraq and Afghanistan. Bush says he first learned about it while watching television. He apparently registered his disappointment with Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, but no decision has been made on whether he would force his resignation, as some have been calling for. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of OPEN, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple or enjoyed a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many of the foods you enjoy are harvested through the hard work of migrant farm workers and their families. Please make a donation to the Harvest of Hope Foundation so we can continue to provide emergency aid and educational scholarships to migrant families and their children. Check out the Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Unfiltered. Lies make you sound drunk.
Well, that's
you
why.
You search for words, you know, you're a little dizzy, you know, you're blurred.
It's true. When you ever watch Rumsfeld speaking, squinting is also a big lying thing. Like, you know when people squint and it's like, I'm trying to think of something to say, and then you squint and you kind of look at nothing. Through the ethical yeah, fog. Gosh, what can I say here? What am I going to pull out of my...
Air America's Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon on Air America Radio.
Toyota owners.
The president.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
today, we've got the liberal agenda coming up this hour, plus our exclusive interview with a former interrogator at the Abu Ghraib prison. But right now, good morning, Mark Riley. Good morning, Sue Ellicott. I am Mark Maron, if you didn't know me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we're going to do a little show here we call Morning Sedition. For those of you who are unfamiliar, we do some serious news stuff, and we mix it with comedy. And I know to some of you that's like, wait, you're going to do serious and then some funny? But that, how can you do that? That doesn't seem right. We're going to do it. My wife is coming in at 3:30 this afternoon. I'm very excited. Look at Sue's hair. Can you see
What's happened to it?
Sue's hair has gone electric. It's standing up on its own.
That's the effect you have on me shortly after 6 in the morning, Mark.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh.
I'm glad I have something.
Yeah.
That seems like
actually,
a good thing.
Actually, you're starting to look kind of more or less alike with the thing going on.
Oh, yeah, you're making fun of my little mohawk.
No, wait a minute. Your wife is coming in at
3:30. I'm excited.
So I guess I shouldn't expect you tomorrow.
No, I'll be here tomorrow. I might be chipper and full of happiness.
Why don't you send
or
her instead?
Or bent over.
We'd
send
like to
my
hang
wife.
Out with her.
Maybe she'll come in. Maybe she will. Maybe we'll be. You want to hang out with my wife,
mm-hmm.
Sue? All right.
Uh-oh.
What are you going to sit there
She's
and go,
fun.
Is she this much of an ass at home? Because I'm having a really hard time with him. How do you deal with him? Because I don't know what to do with him anymore. I can't get him to shut up. I can't get him to
stop drinking tea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got to stop drinking tea. I'm on the air, right? I got to stop.
No,
I can't drink and talk at the same time.
Well, you can. But
dude, I'm just happy. I am happy that I'm looking at the news. We've got a big show today. We've got a lot of stuff going on. But I am so excited that these electronic voting machines will be taken to task in California. Because this thing, I've been getting emails about this, and I've been reading stuff about it in this sort of subversive kind of like email loop that I'm in for like over a year. About these Diebold machines and about these electronic voting machines. And finally, they pushed it through, and there's, you know, they're being examined by committee in California, and California's not going to use them. But then these people, the Republican, DeForest Beach, the Republican, what's his name? Sorry, I'm babbling. But one of the Republicans on the committee said that, you know, it's fine if California doesn't use them, but we're not going to set a standard. It's up to each state to decide that they're still fighting to have these machines. They don't have any paper trail. I mean, in what common sense world, after what happened, you know, in the last election, would anyone think about, you know, instituting machines that leave no proof, they're easily tamperable, and they can't guarantee anything's right. They could crash. They could be programmed to put more votes for somebody. Yep. I mean, how is that even common sense, and why don't more people in more states just rise up against this? They should have paper trails, right?
Is there no kind of chip or, I don't know what computers work, even though I've used them for years, but can you not go inside, I don't know, somebody, some clever person, and figure out and change the vote completely, and look
how to make
at,
them safer.
Yeah, same as when you write something, you can go back and you can see every version and every edit change.
Right.
I can't, but a clever person can.
Well, they should have that, and they should all be on paper. And apparently the guy who designed and created an electronic voting machine that does have a paper trail, died mysteriously.
Got run off the road.
Yeah, he was silkwooded, as I like to say. And
let me just say, his car crashed. Yes. I don't know whether he was run off the road.
Yeah, well, he was run
or
off the road.
Silkwooded.
I think they used one of the secret laser beam mind control things that they have.
Yeah,
you know?
His car did crash, you're right. We have no absolute proof that he was run off
but
the
I
road.
But I just think it's absurd.
That we have none at all.
Well, you know, the tire
yeah,
tracks nearby might have given somebody a clue. I don't know.
It's just absurd that, you know, that we need a paper trail. We absolutely need one, and these machines can't be used. And the fact that Republicans are, you know, rallying, you know, to keep these machines in order because it's a free market, that every state should have the right to decide what their state buys for their own election system. It's just all suspect to me.
Well, maybe George Bush will carry on doing so badly on the Iraq stuff, and people won't be convinced the economy is getting better, that the difference in the results for the Democrats and Republicans will be so clear-cut in favor of the Democrats that it won't matter if there's no paper trail. How about that?
Yeah, and today, in Iraq, and yesterday.
Well, in Iraq, there's so much going on. We could talk about nothing but that between now and 9 o'clock. There's damage control, there's finger-pointing, there's a request for more money, and new photos all top the news on the widening Iraq prison scandal. The Bush administration, mindful of how politically damaging the abuse pictures are, began damage control on several fronts. The president himself went on Arab television twice Wednesday, once on a network that is actually funded by the United States government, to promote justice and swift prosecution of those responsible for murdering and abusing Iraqi prisoners. His spokesman, Scott McClellan, actually used the S word on Bush's behalf.
People in Iraq must understand
that I view those practices as abhorrent. They must also understand that what took place in that prison does not represent America that I know.
Now, that, of course, was not Scott McClellan. That was our chief executive commander-in-chief taking 16 seconds to say something that he could have said in about eight.
Or two. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He refuses. Yeah. There's a strict no-apology policy in the Bush administration as far as the top
brass. But wait a minute. He may not have said it, but I believe McClellan did, in fact, say it. Let's hear from Scott.
The president is sorry for what occurred and the pain that it has caused. It does not represent what America stands for. America stands for much better than what happened.
Now, you hear not represent. You heard that in Bush's thing, I think, and in McClellan's thing. The Bush media blitz comes as the new boss of the Abu Ghraib prison apologized for the abuse of prisoners and took about 30 journalists on a tour of the facility. Now, they were kind of limited in what they could do.
That they had a cleaning crew come in and fix that place
fix
up.
Like, up yeah.
Yeah, here's where the pool table is, and over here's where the, this is the TV lounge, which we just put in.
The thing is, that backfired horribly because there were protests. There were about 30 reporters, as you say, and they were greeted by Iraqis, furious, shouting, you know, you gave bad impression of the American and Christians. Democracy is not to force people to follow USA. And then there was a guy... The European papers reported there was one-legged man who hopped out and waved his prosthetic leg in the air and shouted, why, nobody has told me while I'm here. So it seemed to be a public relations disaster.
This was the organized protest yesterday? There was like thousands of people? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there was an organized protest out in front of Abu Ghraib. And, you know, even the damage control that Bush tried to do on television doesn't appear to be working. I mean, the media, both here and abroad, is full of interviews with people in the Arab world who really just aren't buying Bush's explanation.
People in this world aren't buying it. People on this side of the world aren't buying it. How could they possibly buy it? This president doesn't do anything like this unless he's pushed to the wall. He runs a completely dishonest administration. He's saying that there's justice. It's unbelievable.
Well, call himself pushed to the wall. And, of course, there's also the story about Tony Blair's human rights envoy to Iraq, British Prime Minister Tony Blair's envoy, who says she believes reports that U.S. soldiers detained an elderly Iraqi woman last year, put a harness on her, and made her crawl on the floor like a donkey.
Wow, you imagine if those pictures were out, what that would do? Could you even imagine? That's such a heinous, disrespectful thing. It's almost, it's worse than killing people, what some of these guys did.
Yep.
I don't know. Worse than killing them, I mean, clearly it's going to, you know, mess people up, you know, unbelievably. But they can't win this public relations battle, I don't think. Any vivid story that is a person who comes forward, as people have done on BBC and in the papers in Britain, and have identified themselves as those tortured, those stories will win the day.
Still ahead, we're going to get to a first-hand account of what went on at Abu Ghraib prison from a former interrogator who worked there. Plus, we'll look at the president's Palm Pilot here on Air America Radio.
Of paying high gas prices? Well, how about paying nothing? That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Plus, 1,000 more will win $50 fill-ups. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer to enter the sweepstakes. You'll get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and ask about our May tire and service offers.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
list. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple or enjoyed a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many of the foods you enjoy are harvested through the hard work of migrant farm workers and their families. Please make a donation to the Harvest of Hope Foundation so we can continue to provide emergency aid and educational scholarships to migrant families and their children. Check out the Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Warren Zevon. That's nice, man. We're going to miss Warren Zevon. It's Thursday morning. I'm Mark Maron. It's Morning Sedition. I'm here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. It is now 18 past the hour. It's the National Day of Prayer. We'll get to that later. One of the names you won't see in the Taguba report about abuse at Abu Ghraib is Torrin Nelson. That's because his name has been redacted from public versions. But Nelson, an experienced civilian interrogator, has been cooperating with military investigators. He was at Abu Ghraib from November last year to February of this year. Earlier, he agreed to speak with us by phone from a location outside the country that we agreed not to disclose. We began by asking him about the living conditions he witnessed at Abu Ghraib.
Conditions were constantly changing. They were trying to improve the situation. Obviously, from the beginning, they had severe problems as far as just the security of the location. They didn't have, in my opinion, enough manpower, military manpower, to actually guard such a location as Abu Ghraib. They had quite a number of prison breaks from the early days when they were actually getting in U.S. Personnel. While I was there, I saw just abysmal living and working conditions, not just for the American military and civilians that were working there, but also for the Iraqi detainees. And most of the pictures that you see are from the hard side, but actually the majority of the detainees that lived there and were being questioned while they were being held lived in tent cities, basically. And during the rainy season, the tent city was just in a sea of mud. The health conditions, hygiene conditions were absolutely atrocious. Mm. But the U.S. military personnel were doing the best that they could, but with limited resources and limited support from higher command back in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm. Torrin Nelson, what kind of training did you and your colleagues have as interrogators working for the private contracting company? And what kind of checks and rules were there governing what you could and could not do in your line of questioning?
My past background, I can speak for myself. Some of the others, I really can't get too much into their backgrounds, but my personal background is prior to working with CACI International, I was 11 years working as what we call 97 ECHO, an interrogator. I was actually working in places such as Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and in Bosnia and the Balkans, in Russia and Ukraine throughout my career, both active duty and in the National Guard. So I consider myself a very experienced interrogator, and I can say for the record, actually, that throughout my 12 years now working as an interrogator, I have never once had to use or resort to using any type of coercive, physical coercion, or what some people might call torture. And I find that to be a good interrogator, you don't actually need to resort to those tactics.
Colin, what kind of limits were there placed, or what kind of supervision was there placed on other people who were doing your kind of work inside Abu Ghraib prison, if any?
In my opinion, the level of oversight by the chain of command was the minimum required to be able to say yes, we're providing oversight. There were signs posted. These are the types of approaches that you should use. These are the types of approaches you shouldn't use. And that was about it. There was some mention in a couple of formations that they would have, to kind of reinforce, look, we're not going to do this. But as far as when the interrogator went to go do their interrogation, they were pretty much on their own if they wanted to be. And the civilians in the military side, when I say civilians, the civilian contractors, that were augmenting the military that was running the actual operations for the interrogation. They were pretty close to keeping checks on each other, but when it came to actually operations in the interrogation booth, a lot of times the interrogators were allowed to go do things on their own, and it was up to each individual interrogator how they wanted to conduct their operations.
If someone wanted to, push the envelope in terms of abuse and torture, there were really no safeguards to prevent that.
That's why we're actually on the phone today talking with you, is because of the events that have unfolded.
We're talking to Torin Nelson, a former professional interrogator who worked at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, also worked as a private contractor with Khaki International. Torin, military people, specifically General Janis Karpinski, have said that they are being made as scapegoats in the scandal about the alleged abuse of Iraqi prisoners. They blame people in military intelligence. Is that a bad rap?
I think that because of the seriousness of the allegations that are being brought forth, everybody's trying to run and seek cover right now. Everybody's trying to cover their butts. While I was there, just the short period of time that I was there, there were so many visits from higher level authorities that to just try and pick out one star general and say that it is primarily this person's fault about what happened. Any general that shows up, if they want to actually walk through and witness what's going on at any time of the day or night, they had free reign to do it. There was nobody that was ever told, "I'm sorry, you don't have the proper clearance that you can actually witness the living conditions or the working conditions that we're operating in right now." I think with the amount of dog and pony shows, as we call them, that were actually taking place, there are a lot of people actually right now that probably do need to answer some very tough questions. And I'm actually very glad that Senator Carl Levin and Senator McCain right now, and I just heard, I guess, Senator Feinstein, are calling for open public inquiries directed by the Congress. I think that this is something that needs to be done, and it needs to be done openly and with as much transparency as possible.
Torin Nelson, during your time working as an interrogator at the Abu Ghraib prison, did you ever raise concerns with any of your superiors or any of the powers that be about tactics and conditions that you felt were unacceptable inside the prison?
Or even
in the time since you left?
Throughout my career, I've always tried to reinforce the tactics that I've learned as far as what I believe an interrogator is. In my opinion, an interrogator is not synonymous with a torturer, not synonymous with an abuser. An interrogator is an investigator, and it's on them to be as professional as possible. They need to make sure that, first and foremost, that they know the rules of the game, that they understand what they can and cannot do, and that they make their judgments based upon moral and ethical principles. These are all things that throughout my career I have always told fellow interrogators. Now, as far as having written anything formal, no, unfortunately I didn't, and I regret not having done that. I wish that I had made more objections, but I know from now on, whenever I see things like that happening, I will be probably one of the first in line to make sure that the higher-ups know that this is not correct.
I don't really understand what were the things, presumably terrible things, that you saw that you feel that you would need to speak out against. Could you just give us some details?
Unfortunately, I can't mention, I don't want to mention anything as specifically detailed that I witnessed at Abu Ghraib prison because there are current investigations going on.
But would it be fair to say that would it be fair to say that you were not surprised by the pictures that we have seen, that they seem to be kind of roughly in line with intimidation and abuse that you saw, even though you can't give us precise details?
To some extent, I would have to say that I am not surprised, but to some extent, actually, I am surprised. And let me just say that when I was talking with authorities, they were asking me questions about my conduct or things that I saw. And when they asked me about certain activities, I was so flabbergasted. I thought they were joking, actually, when they talked about, you know, did you witness such and such happening? Did you witness this happening? I thought they were almost comical type of questions, but now having seen the photos, I actually, you know, I really do believe that there definitely is more to just the initial reports that people have been hearing.
Did you feel that maybe did seeing these pictures make you wish that you had spoken out and been more vocal about the things that you did see while you were there?
Definitely. Definitely. This is actually the first time that I've actually witnessed or seen anything of this level. And I've worked around the world. I've worked in many theaters. And this is something, although it seems to be isolated right now, I think that the conditions that we are operating in, that the U.S. military and civilian contractors are operating in currently, if drastic changes aren't made in our operations overall, that this is probably something that won't end.
We'll have more of our discussion with Torrin Nelson later in the program. And one request Torrin Nelson made of us was that we have congressional investigators get in touch with him. So if any of them are listening, give us a holler, and we'll put you in touch. If you're not clear, that was Torrin Wilson, an interrogator. Torrin Nelson, an interrogator who was at Abu Ghraib prison.
And a former employee of Khaki International, which is one of the major contractors.
Does anyone know what else they contract there? I'm going to look that up.
Well, I do know that some of their employees are the ones who have been named or are part of the alleged abuse against some of the prison detainees mm-hmm. at Abu Ghraib. And I think one of the contractors also allegedly abused or raped a youth at the jail. So I would say that Torrin Nelson saw some stuff, and he is very anxious to speak out to anybody from Congress who might want to contact him.
When we come back, the Presidential Palm Pilot Plus, another setback for the Queen of Gracious Living. All that and the latest from the campaign trail as Air America Radio continues.
Your mother's got out her photo album.
Oh, poor kids.
And this is your father.
Where's his head?
Camera missed it, I guess. Here's Aunt Judy.
Her hair used to be orange.
I guess the camera was a little off. Here's Cousin Tommy.
He's fuzzy.
This Mother's Day, take the guesswork out of Mom's photography and printing.
Hey, Mom, open this.
With HP's PhotoSmart 735 digital camera and 2410 all-in-one printer, the one that scans, prints, copies, and faxes.
Wow.
Digital camera and printer. Is it complicated?
No, Mom, it's HP. It's pretty foolproof.
It's what proof?
And now, when you buy both, you'll get a $75 mail-in rebate. Learn more about HP cameras, printers, and PCs at your nearest retailer or hpshopping.com/mom.
Look, Grandma just took a picture of Dad standing in the corner.
Nice.
HP. Invent.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More violence in Baghdad within the last couple of hours. Another bomb has gone off in a commercial section of the city. Heavy damage has been reported. Only two injuries reported there. Amid all the reports on the Iraqi prisoner abuse issue, the International Red Cross has revealed that it had repeatedly asked American authorities to take action over prisoner abuse in Abu Ghraib prison long before the recent revelations. A New York publication reports this morning that the Justice Department is looking into whether criminal charges should be filed against two American civilians suspected of instigating prisoner abuse in Iraq. And Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has a date with the Senate tomorrow to discuss his actions, or lack of, on disclosing the issue of prisoner abuse by American soldiers in Iraq. Many are calling for Rumsfeld's head for his handling of the entire matter. Wayne Gilman, Air America, Radio News.
Hi. I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York.
So, Chad, what should we get your mom for Mother's Day?
I don't know, Vicki. Maybe a nice pendant and earring set. Or some framed pictures of the kids.
Hey, you know, we could get all that at Kohl's Mother's Day sale.
Great. What do you want for Mother's Day?
I don't know. Maybe a nice pendant and earring set or some framed pictures of the kids?
Get to Kohl's Mother's Day sale and save on great gifts for mom. All fine and sterling silver jewelry is 60% off. KitchenAid's heavy-duty stand mixer is just $199.99. Or treat mom to a Hormetics foot massager for only $9.99 during Kohl's Mother's Day sale Thursday through Saturday.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. The Majority Report.
Well, I have here a book called The George W. Bush Quiz Book by Paul Slansky,
Janine Garofalo, and Sam Cedar.
George W. Bush took Harvard Business School seriously enough to start wearing a jacket and tie to class. True or false?
Well,
false. He sat in the back of the classroom wearing his National Guard bomber jacket and spitting tobacco juice into a styrofoam cup.
Air America's Majority Report. Weeknights 8 to 11 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Thursday. It's the National Day of Prayer. I am Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. The National Day of Prayer is being countered by a National Day of Reason by scheduled for today at 1 p.m. on the steps of the Pennsylvania State Capitol Building in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Immediately after a Christian group finishes its day of prayer rally, there will be a National Day of Reason rally, if you're interested in going to that.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
What is the National Day of Prayer supposed to be praying for?
I think it's just a reminder. It's sort of like, Don't Smoke Day and, Mother's Day. It's to remind you that, Mother's Day is to say, hey, remember, you got a mother, Smoking Day is to say,
Don't smoke. You can pray day?
Yeah, it's sort of like, hey, maybe it's time you checked in with whatever, myth you think is true day.
Can't there be a special cordoned off section which is for reasonable prayer, which I think truly does exist, and we can't get down on everybody kind of praying and rebel against.
Oh, no. I have no problem with it. I was raised to be tolerant. If you want to pray, you can sit on your knees all day, and it doesn't matter. I'm just curious what people are supposed to be praying
for.
Yeah,
I was raised to pray.
World peace, that's cool.
I was not raised to pray.
You were not raised, full stop.
I was not raised to believe in anything specific. I understand what prayer is. It's a humbling of the self before something greater than you, and certainly if that works for you to get your mind straight and your day straight and to get you straight with your God, that's a great thing. But I think it's sort of interesting and good that a group of people are doing a day of reason. I don't think reason and prayer are, diametrically opposed.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, well,
as long as you pray for something reasonable.
You're not being very convincing there, Mark Maron.
I'm trying. Let's do the president's Palm Pilot today for May 6th. This is taken right off whitehouse.gov and put into the president's little Palm Pilot. 8 a.m. Wake up, initiate shoe tying sequence. 8:25, finish tying shoes. 8:26, take off shoes and put on pants first. Oops. Noon, post-war planning meeting, talking points. When is this thing going to end? And when do we start getting some of that oil? 1:15 p.m., meet with King of Jordan. Note, do not call him Air Jordan. 2:35 p.m. speech on National Day of Prayer. Ask the Lord for strength in these trying times and for another popular black guy to replace Powell after he quits. 4:30 p.m. weekly shredding of embarrassing documents, CIA memos, pre-9/11 FBI warnings, and SpongeBob doodle pad. 5:15 p.m. authorize the unauthorized anti-carry ads. 8 p.m. everyone watching Friends finale. Okay, quietly cut funding for something. 9 p.m. bedtime. Initiate shoe untying sequence. Big day for the President Day.
Well, I'm glad to see that he knows about the National Day of Prayer. I imagine Martha Stewart might be one step closer to praying after what happened to her. She's going to be wearing, she's one step closer now to wearing prison orange.
Couldn't get the retrial.
Nope. Judge rejected her request for a new trial. This request was based on the idea that one of the, on the fact actually, that one of the jurors in her case, a gentleman by the name of Chappelle Hartridge, concealed the fact that he had been arrested for assault. And he also, coincidentally, was the first juror to speak to the media after the jury had rendered its guilty verdict. But be that as it may, the appeals judge said that's sad to say, but no reason for a new trial. And this, of course, is after being found guilty of lying about a suspicious stock sale. And she's scheduled to be sentenced June 17th. And the smart money says she's going to go to the big
house. She's going
to
do time.
She's going to do time.
I heard a guy on CNN last night, one of their legal analyst guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's because I'm not really knowledgeable as to names and whatnot. But I was watching the television, and he said that because of where she lives, she's probably going to maybe Danbury Prison, which he said is not a – apparently because –
In Connecticut, right?
Yeah, Connecticut, yeah, it's in Connecticut. No, it's in Connecticut. She lives, I think, in Westport or somewhere.
I grew up near Danbury.
Yeah. But he said because there's not a lot of women prisoners in relation to the number of male prisoners, if there's not a lot of women prisons, which means there's no kind of – they're all kind of bad. There's no cushy prison.
No club fed for females.
Right, right. So she might, you know, learn a few things, so to speak. I don't know what, but I'm a big fan of Martha Stewart, and I'll admit that openly. I don't mind Martha Stewart, just like I was a big fan of Kathy Lee Gifford because – I like women on television.
Who else? Oprah?
No.
Were you a big fan of Oprah, too?
Oprah, I don't really. It's not that I dislike her, but the reason I like Martha Stewart and Kathy Lee is that I love seeing, you know, clearly crazy women on television in a good way. I think that Kathy Lee, you sat there and you watched every day as she talked about systematically destroying her son's life. That, you know, if Cody comes out with, if he doesn't have, you know, a major drug problem, or he's, like, you know, completely confused, you know, sexually and in every other way, it'll be a miracle.
Are you wishing this on
us? No. But I like Kathy Lee because I found her very honest. And the same with Martha Stewart. All the stuff that she was doing, I was just like, wow, this, she has taken OCD to a level that I can't even imagine and made it productive. And it's very exciting how engaged and nuts she is about what she does. And I think she's very good at it. And I've cooked her brownie recipes.
OCD, what's that?
Obsessive compulsive disorder.
Oh, well, you know, not all of us know about these. Not all of us.
And also, I feel
you have to have it to want to abbreviate it. So busy having to get on to the next thing.
I feel that she's being sort of set up too. I mean, there are men that have done much worse than her as far as, you know, inside trading and crumbling corporate empires, which she didn't even do, that don't do any jail time. Her what was it, like $65,000?
Yeah, it wasn't a huge profit.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean, I don't agree with the women who think that Martha got a bad rap because she was a woman and the guys have done worse things on Wall Street, and so she should have got off. Anybody who does anything bad, you know, who misrepresents themselves, who lies, you know, steals, cheats, and is greedy in that way, deserves to go down.
Now, you...
But go to jail?
Yes.
What about Half Deck?
Man, you
Half Deck.
We'll get to Half Deck.
We want to find out whether Sue wants to execute Half Deck.
We've got the liberal agenda up ahead and the latest poll numbers on President Bush. Where does he stand? We'll tell you later here on Air America Radio.
Okay.
tonight at 5 and 6 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Terror-proofing our subways and trains. Is the MTA dragging its feet?
That's unacceptable.
The Eyewitness News investigators confront the MTA. Bus at 5, getting you and your baby to sleep through the night. Eyewitness News just found a new way to help. Plus, who'll be the next Martha Stewart? Meet the new domestic diva. It all starts with Diana Williams, Sade Badrinois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah, 6 weeks in a coma, on the brink of death. Luther Vandross talks.
He just about came back from the dead.
The first interview sends his massive stroke. Then, Simon Cowell's mother tells all. And meet the woman behind, Senator Hillary Clinton.
You want your daughter to run for president?
I had to ask her!
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
The following is a real conversation between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber. It took place November 5th, 2003.
OnStar emergency, this is Bernard.
We have a fire in my house.
I'm going to contact the fire department. Just remain on the line.
County emergency.
This is Bernard with OnStar. I have a subscriber who's reporting their home is on fire. It's at 15.
No matter what your emergency, an OnStar advisor is always available to call for help.
We have emergency personnel on the line.
Okay, the fire department's been dispatched. Is everybody out of the house?
Yes.
Are you guys all in the car right now?
Yes.
Okay, you just got to try and stay calm, okay? They're going to be there soon.
I'm going to stay here on the line with you till the fire department gets here, okay?
Okay.
Many Buick vehicles are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Buick dealer or Buick.com.
It'll be okay. They're here, okay?
Ma'am, you did say that the fire department's there now?
Yes, they're there. Thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Thank you.
OnStar, always there, always ready.
At Volunteers of America, we don't just give kids a way to stay off the streets. We give them the tools they need to reach their full potential. We don't just help the elderly receive needed care. We help them live life to the fullest. We don't just provide food for homeless individuals and families. We provide job training and placements so they can buy groceries. Volunteers of America is a national organization that for over 100 years has provided programs and services that allow people to overcome their challenges to become vital members of their community. At Volunteers of America, we don't just help people, we help people help themselves. Find out how you can support the programs that are working in your community. Contact Volunteers of America today. Call 1-800-899-0089. That's 1-800-899-0089.
Good morning. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. It is 43 past the hour. I have admitted that I'm a latent Martha Stewart fan. That was hard for me to come out like that.
It
was hard.
It was.
And I'm proud to, not proud because I didn't have anything to do with it, but Bush's poll numbers are dropping steadily. Very exciting news for those of us who don't like him and want him gone. They're dropping despite all efforts and all money to coerce people into thinking otherwise. Even with the economy bouncing back a little bit, people in this country are like, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with him. I'm over it.
Is the economy bouncing back a little bit?
No. How can it be? He wants $25 billion more for Iraq. The war is sucking money. I mean, the deficit's got to mean something. I know that Dick Cheney says deficits don't mean anything. But clearly, if you look at both sides, like whatever few points the economy bounces back because a few kids got jobs at McDonald's is not going to counterbalance the fact that there's another $25 billion being sucked into the desert death machine. I mean, I don't understand how you can justify any economic growth if the deficit keeps growing at the, you know, at this, the rate it is growing at.
Well, the economy is coming back. This is in today's Wall Street Journal, what I always call their to be sure paragraph. Whenever they set up something which is, you know, critical of anything or anybody, by about paragraph 4 or 5, there's always the to be sure. And they say, to be sure, the economy has been growing steadily.
But what does that mean in relation to a deficit?
Well, it means that business investment has come back. People are investing, putting money back into companies and kind of building up inventories and trying to expand. And employers have been hiring. And the unemployment rate in March was 5.7%, which is down from the 6.3% of June last year. But, you know, oil prices are still very high, and that's pushing up prices at the gas pump, so people aren't happy about that. Inflation seems to be creeping back. Everybody's worried about that. And there are signs that interest rates are going to go up. So that means people's mortgages will cost more, their car payments will cost more, and their credit cards, when they're carrying debt on their credit cards, will cost more.
So the boost in the economy means nothing in relation to those other things, really.
I think for a lot of people who don't have, you know, big package health benefits, you know, the kind of high profile, safe, secure, big corporate jobs, things aren't getting much better. I mean, there's a story just today in the New York Times about people traveling 4 hours on public transport on combinations of subway and buses to get to jobs for 4 hours of work for $28, no benefits, no nothing. There are millions of people who work as household workers, you know, nannies, cleaners, home health aides, who endure an incredibly long commute and for jobs paying less than $25,000 a year in the New York area. And that's according to census data.
Yeah, and
people are struggling. It doesn't matter if investment in corporations and companies and business is going up. Is that a lot of people are hurting?
But just regular people too, not just people who have to, you know, take a, you know, bus and a train to be a nanny or clean a house. I mean, people who have just, you know, minimum wage jobs that don't have, like you said, health care.
But those are regular people. Last week I took the train out through Queens to go out to Kennedy Airport.
You mean where I live?
Way beyond where you live. Way, way beyond. It's like almost an hour's journey on the subway. It was packed. Absolutely packed. You know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, people coming home from Manhattan, jammed. Absolutely jammed.
They used to be able to live in Manhattan. Remember that, Mark?
Well, see, that's what all of this is speaking to. These commutes are taking place because the people that are doing these jobs can no longer afford to live anywhere near
where they were.
Where they were. You know, you're talking about people having to go, for example, from Brownsville out to Newark or out to another part of New Jersey, and it takes 3 or 4 buses. It takes 2 or 3 hours. And as you say, sometimes it's for a part-time job. It's not even for a full-time.
Exactly. And what was really amazing is the stations were kind of scrubbed. You know, the train was really, really crowded. So I wasn't sure which station to get off at. Suddenly, we get to this spanking new, lovely, gleaming, fancy pants station. That's the one where people get off to go to the airport.
Oh, yeah, the transfer point. Yeah.
The transfer point was this, like, super-duper incredible station.
And then you get on
everything
that,
else was a dump.
You get on that space-age futuristic train?
Yeah, which is empty, the 3 people on there.
They like, just built the thing. Didn't it fall off the tracks or whatever?
It derailed.
They were testing it.
And killed, yeah, when they ran a test, the motorman who was running it was killed, actually.
Right. The one person that doesn't seem to have any problem generating a little money during this time of tough times for people is our president at this Bush this gala
the
fundraiser.
Big gala fundraiser. It made more money than even the fundraisers that were taking place when it was much easier to raise the money. In other words, you know, when there weren't the kind of limits that there are now. $38.5 million he raised yesterday at a gala that featured our president. And 1,500 people.
1,500 people were able to kick in 30 mil?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? We know about the tax breaks. They've saved all that money from the tax breaks. They're channeling it all into supporting Bush. But, you know, be prepared to see nastier and nastier and stronger and more and more ads. Because if Bush is finding that, you know, people are losing support for him over the Iraq war because the public is concerned that it's slipped out of U.S. control and the economy is not giving them any sense of security, so they don't see peace or prosperity anytime soon, the only hope he has is to carry on slamming Kerry.
Yeah.
That's their tactic.
Goodness,
the two prongs that we thought were going to help us are not. And we have to just kind of really go after our rival. It's going to get mean,
start
mean,
smacking
mean.
Smacking them on the ropes. We'll be back with the liberal agenda, with more of our interview with an interrogator who is Abu Ghraib prison, and many other things here on Air America Radio.
The champion of the world. course it should, bud. Oh, there's the bell.
Oh, wildfire just charged out of that corner like a wildfire.
Yeah, but it can't seem to get anywhere near House.
That's because House is landscaped with water-retaining plants, which help keep wildfire at a safe distance.
And, bud, check out how wildfire's bunches seem to roll off that treated shingle roof.
Holy smokes, Lou. Wildfire is wearing out like a cheap suit. Oh, wildfire is down.
Down and out.
Can your house win a fight with wildfire? Visit Firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. That's Firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Darius Rucker and the boys from Hootie and the Blowfish. We have an important message for you. If you're an adult, 21 or over, it's fine to have a drink while you're enjoying an evening with good friends. What's not right is overdoing it. When you drink too much, you're probably not quite as much fun as you think.
Yeah, if you do drink, please do it responsibly. If you go out with a group and there's going to be drinking, have a designated driver. Don't you think, Dino?
Mark is right. The good news is that the most recent statistics show that underage drinking is declining. They also show the lowest levels of traffic deaths involving alcohol since they started keeping track.
But we can all do more, Dean. It's Sony asking you to remember that we all need to do our part by drinking responsibly and keep things going in the right direction.
This message is brought to you by the members of the National Beer Wholesalers Association, committed to encouraging responsible consumption of its products.
There's a vacation village near Orlando that is unlike any resort in the world. It's for special kids with life-threatening illnesses. It's called Give Kids the World Village, and it provides a week of fun and relaxation for kids and their families. A week of simple pleasures that would make any child smile. Swimming pools, visits to local Orlando theme parks, and unlimited ice cream. A week to live in the moment and to make memories that will last a lifetime. All for free, for their families, too. To find out how you can bring joy into the life of a very sick child, call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org. And please, help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Good morning. It's Thursday. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. It is the National Day of Prayer. We are doing the show on our knees right now. And contrary to what Sue said earlier, I do understand the power of meditation and prayer. I understand why people do it. You know, I think it is a human activity that can yield some humility and some results. I just don't know, you know, if acknowledging that there has to be something else. I don't know if praying to something necessarily means.
What about anything. Praying for something?
Yeah, why not? Why not
do that?
Why not ask the air for something?
You ever this go to the track and pray for
him? This is a really good open-minded day for Mark. So whatever. Sure,
I'm very open to the idea of I'm trying to institute a prayer without God thing.
Well, you can do that.
Exactly, that's all I'm
saying.
Pray
to Buddha. Pray to Allah.
You can pray to
anything. Pray to the Tao.
Pray to TV. Pray to some ice cream. Maybe a cup of coffee. Thank you.
Wait a minute, you think if you pray in front of some vanilla ice cream, we can turn into the mint that you like so much?
I don't know. No, I'm just saying that it will yield the results.
Results may vary.
Scheduled for today at 1 p.m. on the steps of the Pennsylvania State Capitol Building in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Immediately after a Christian group finishes its day of prayer rally, there will be a day of reason rally. And as always, you can email your hate and love to sedition at airamericaradio.com. For those of you who are fuming and seething, please take the time to write a 10-page piece on how much you don't like something. Would you? Because
how much they don't like you.
Hey. I'm offering some other options.
Okay.
And please kick us an email if you're enjoying the show. Say hello. Maybe make some suggestions. Those are always fun.
Vote
right?
Yeah.
Send in some brownies.
Now, I got to talk about Half Deck.
Yeah.
Okay. And I shouldn't be as...
You're kicking the name around like it's like everyone should know. Half Deck.
Half Deck. Yeah, that's right. Well, his name, his actual name is Michael Wayne Hall. He has an IQ of less than 70, and he was nicknamed Half Deck by his compadres in Stir. A state appeals court in Texas yesterday rejected his claim of mental retardation and refused to spare his life. Now, they haven't set a date for his execution. He was convicted in 1998 for the slaying of a 19-year-old woman who was kidnapped as she rode her bicycle to work. Michael Wayne Hall is...
So they're saying he's just stupid, he's not retarded?
Well, here's what they say, and this is fascinating, because they really didn't say he was stupid, but they do say this, quote, "While there was significant evidence in favor of a finding of mental retardation, there was also significant evidence against such a finding." So there was...
But that happened, four that happened at any trial? Because there's people always bring in experts, and there's an expert who will say one thing, and then another expert who will say completely the opposite.
I just feel
isn't
bad.
Isn't that how all
like,
these trials work?
But this isn't a trial. This is an appeal.
Isn't
an
it sad that he's on the edge of retardation?
Well, what they're saying is he's a retard, and he's not a retard. Therefore, we're going to execute him like he wasn't.
Riley used the word retard.
Well,
yay!
I mean, that's what the Texas credit, that's what they say.
Well, his crime was appalling.
His crime was certainly appalling.
Yes,
but if he had an IQ lower than 70, there's a question federally
whether
or not he should be executed.
Or whether he knew what he's doing. Clearly, I mean, they decided that he knew what he was doing. He was conscious. He wasn't crazy. He made a decision. It was premeditated, and he killed the woman.
It's hard to struggle. I struggle with these kind of things because I just find... At some level, I find it's kind of sad and immoral, improper that there's even any kind of discussion over this because it involves execution.
Is Half Deck getting a gurney?
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah,
he is.
What were you going to say?
It's too heavy for me.
Oh, too heavy.
It's too heavy and it's too depressing. Can you lighten things up for us?
I believe we can. There's the facts from the Streisand compound. We have our liberal agenda. For today, get your notebooks out and your pens. Here are your marching orders. One, come up with a better, more worthy alternative word than American for Native American. Two, pass by government office, see many people doing nothing, say, that's the way it should be. Three, encourage children to play house with same-sex couples. Four, during vegan lunch, have a moment of silence for plants that gave their lives. And five, lobby state legislator to remove God from Godzilla. And that is it. That's our liberal agenda. We'll be back with Joe Wilson and much more coming up here on Air America Radio.
At least I didn't fake it hot, so I guess I didn't make it.
Let's be honest. By now, you've probably heard of Levitra, Levitra Vardenafil HCL. I bet you're still wondering, does Levitra really do what it's supposed to? Well, I can tell you, but where's the fun in that? Talk to your doctor. Find out for yourself. You know, when they say nothing ventured, nothing gained, they aren't kidding. Ask your doctor if a free trial is right for you. Call 1-866-LEVITRA or visit Levitra.com to find out more. Levitra, when it counts. Individual results may vary.
Air America's Morning Sedition. Weekdays 6 to 9, unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Old Franken Factor. Weekdays noon to 3, Randy Rhoads. Afternoons 3 to 7, So What Else Is News. Evenings 7 to 8, The Maturity Report. Weeknights 8 to 11 on Air America Radio.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More violence has been reported in Baghdad. A bomb has gone off in a commercial district of the city, injuring two people. The identities of the victims have not been disclosed, but they are not U.S. soldiers. Heavy damage has been reported. Still unknown as whether there was a specific site being targeted. Early in the day, a bomb went off, killing 5 Iraqi civilians and 1 U.S. soldier near the site of the U.S.-led coalition headquarters. International Red Cross has kept quiet for months, but it broke its silence today, saying it had repeatedly asked American authorities to look into the issue of prisoner abuse in Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison. This long before the recent revelations surfaced in the media, a spokeswoman for the organization says, "We were aware of what was going on, but had refused to comment on it." Latest Bush scandal appears to be resting squarely in the lap of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Many within the administration, including the president himself, have joined those on Capitol Hill in criticizing his handling of the problem. Most want to know why he did not come forward with the information, including Democratic Senate leader Tom Daschle.
Secretary Rumsfeld ought to be here. He ought to explain himself in the Pentagon, and we need to say, after having acquired that information again.
Democratic Senate leader Tom Daschle. Meanwhile, Rumsfeld will return to the hot seat tomorrow with an appearance before the Senate. The defense secretary is facing many calls for his resignation. It's not the first time he survived such pressure from critics. Time will tell if the commander-in-chief will pull the trigger on his cabinet responsibilities this time. American-led forces staged their biggest assault in the holy city of Najaf yesterday against Shiite militiamen loyal to Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. They raided hideouts in several cities and clashed with gunmen in the world's largest cemetery. Some 15 Iraqi soldiers were killed. Only 1 U.S. soldier died. Moderate Shiites tried to persuade the anti-American cleric to back away from his confrontation with the U.S. The action is a reflection of their growing concern. Clashes between both parties have become deadlier in recent weeks. Federal Bureau of Investigation yesterday decided to release thousands of pages of documents about Democratic presidential candidate Senator John Kerry's days as the leader of the Veterans Group against the war in Vietnam. Some of the documents portray him as a moderate, and still others called him an opportunist. From all indications, the government engaged in detailed surveillance of Kerry between the years 1967 and 75. The agency released some 21,000 pages of documents on John Kerry before his Senate career to various news organizations sought under the Freedom of Information Act. There's another name for the Bush administration's top fundraisers, the nation's top polluters. According to a new report from the Public Citizens and Environmental Integrity Project, 10 of Bush's major supporters who've raised $100,000 to $200,000 are from utility companies that own 89 of the most polluting power plants in the country. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
NBC Tonight, after 10 years, we say goodbye to our friends. A night you'll never forget.
Ross, you've got to tell her how you feel.
We can't just give up.
And the fate of Ross and Rachel.
I held your hand through all.
Please stay with me.
What?
I am so in love with you. Please don't go.
See how it all ends. The Friends finale. It all starts at 8, 7 Central, NBC Tonight.
Hi, this is Sharon Stone, and I'd like to thank you for your continued support in the fight against AIDS. I'm the campaign chairman for AMFAR, the American Foundation for AIDS Research. And together, with your help, we can do the kind of cutting-edge research that is helping people with HIV live enriched, extended lives. But AIDS is not over. The current drugs are not an answer. More people are contracting AIDS every year. We need your help. We need a vaccine. It's not easy work, and it's not inexpensive. Let's not let this be our legacy for our children. Call 1-800-39-AMFAR. In the fight against AIDS, we've bought time. More research will buy answers. So please call 1-800-39-AMFAR. Thank you.
Honey, you've been at that desk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Take a break. Let's go out and look for the baby furniture.
Not right now, Jackie. I'm still trying to figure out how we'll do without your paycheck.
Oh, I'm only taking a 3-month leave.
But then there'll be daycare.
We probably ought to have more insurance, too. And start saving for college.
Right now, I wish when I was in college, I'd majored in financial planning instead of engineering.
We could go to someone with financial planning expertise.
Yeah, but how would we know we're getting someone who'd look at all our needs, not just try to sell us an investment plan?
If you find you need the help of a financial planner but are not sure how to find one who is competent, ethical, and will develop a plan based on your needs, you can get help from Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, a nonprofit certifying agency. For a free brochure, 10 questions to ask when choosing a financial planner, call toll-free 1-888-CFP-MARK. CFP is in Certified Financial Planner and MARK. Or visit CFP.net.
Randy Rhodes.
New York doesn't take this voting thing all that seriously because you guys, you still have those machines that I used to vote on with the curtain. You know there's no curtain in Florida. There's no privacy in Florida. You stand at a snack tray. But now we're going to do touchscreen voting and there's no paper. So they can't do a recount. They can't compare exit polls to what, you know, what people say as they leave the polling places.
Randy Rhodes. Afternoons 3 to 7 on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. How will the nation do without new episodes of Friends? Wow, man, I'm at the edge of my being. Plus, George W. heads for Recovery Corner. That's coming up right now. It's Thursday. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Was that a hello, or are you being choked?
That's hey.
Hey.
That was, just sort of a gurgly.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah.
I'm across right. The river.
I'm all right. You know, what is it with, it's still, you know, Rumsfeld is
Rummy.
Going, I think, do you think he's going down?
Should
it sounds
do.
Like it. It sounds like it. I mean, look, there's a lot of bad news coming for the Bush administration out of Iraq. And it's not just the photos this time. The government says it is investigating no fewer than 14 deaths of Iraqi and Afghan prisoners who died while in custody of the U.S. military. The probes pose new questions about the depth of prisoner abuse in both countries. They're also casting, as Mark very correctly pointed out, a critical spotlight on Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. He'll be testifying tomorrow before the Senate Armed Services Committee. And several committee members have openly criticized the administration's secrecy on allegations of prisoner abuse, and it looks like even the president wasn't real happy that Rumsfeld didn't share information with him.
I just can't stand that, you know, he's sort of played this kind of like, you know, pensive, cranky, codgery kind of dude, you know. Like
smug. Smug is the word you're
looking smug, for. And he's another one who's under the no apology policy. And then out of all the frames he chooses to, you know, for glasses, I don't know if whether he consciously or unconsciously picked the exact same glasses that, you know, Robert McNamara.
Oh, yeah.
They're the same glasses.
Defense Secretary from back in the 60s.
And he seems to be making the same mistakes, doesn't he?
Well, you know, there are reports that Secretary of State Colin Powell asked Donald Rumsfeld about these abuse reports in staff meetings going back to the beginning of the year.
Yeah, but they didn't read them? Didn't see them?
Didn't see them, didn't read them, but they supposedly, it was supposedly brought up both by Powell and at some point Paul Bremer. You know, allegations that there were abuse. And supposedly, according to one report I saw, Powell asked Rumsfeld or told Rumsfeld, you need to look into this.
Yeah.
Well, this is just another chance for Powell and Powell's supporters to point out the distance between State Department and the Defense Department on the Iraq issue, and for Powell to start trying to kind of redeem himself a little bit more, because he has lost a lot of credibility, really, in past months.
He has, but I really believe that Powell was partly behind the decision Bush made to go on Arab television. I think that was... That smells to me like State Department, not Defense Department.
Well,
I don't think Rumsfeld would have thought of
it. I guess so, because it would fall into the diplomacy camp. But Bush didn't look good. I caught him on the news yesterday, and he looked panicked. I mean, he didn't...
Not in the same way he usually
well,
does.
Well, he wasn't able to... No, it wasn't the sort of stumbling. He was very decisive in how he spoke, but his face was quite rigid. His body language was very upright. He looked incredibly uncomfortable.
He couldn't fake the confidence he usually has.
Yeah, it wasn't that sort of jokey, kidding around.
Yeah,
come
yeah,
on,
yeah.
Let's just, you know, let's, you know, I'm your friend, you're my friend, let's, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
let's
he
just
couldn't be cocky.
He couldn't do that. And I think that there is a sense that all of this relentless bad news coming out over Iraq, including another terrible piece today of a U.S. Military guy accused of spying on women soldiers in showers.
Yeah, that's Leo Merck.
There's just one bad thing after another that they must be wringing their hands going, oh, how do we get over this?
He really looked like it was slipping away from him, that he didn't have, you know, he no longer has the arrogance of a guaranteed second term ahead of him. But right now, in his 2003 State of the Union address, President Bush, who we are talking about, claimed that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa. Some 6 months later, in a New York Times op-ed piece called What I Didn't Find in Africa, Ambassador Joseph Wilson told the nation that prior to that speech, he had been asked to investigate that claim and found no evidence of it. Wilson's revelation badly damaged the president's credibility, and someone apparently in the White House retaliated by revealing to the press that Wilson's wife was a CIA operative. Joining us now to tell us where the investigation of that leak, where that stands, and also we want to ask him a little bit about Iraq, is Ambassador Joseph Wilson, author of The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Led to War and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity. Good morning, Ambassador.
Good morning. How are you all?
I'm very well. So, as acting ambassador to Iraq in 1990, you were like the last American official to actually meet with Saddam Hussein. Did the current President Bush ever ask you for your advice in dealing with him?
No. The short answer is no.
Uh-huh.
The administration never asked me for my views. I published my views in a series of articles, which I appended to the book. But no, and more to the point. A very good friend of mine who has spent 30 years doing Middle East intelligence analysis here addressed a group that included, as he pointed out to me, everybody who knew anything about the Middle East and about the region in this city. And he asked the question. He said, has anybody in the administration asked any of you before, during, or after this war your views? And nobody raised their hand.
So he didn't even care.
The administration, it's not just the president, it's the entire administration.
And was he a madman, Hussein, in your impression?
Well, I think he was a bona fide sociopath.
Uh-huh.
He was perfectly capable of producing a logical argument, which he did with me when I met him 4 days after the invasion. The trouble was the premises on which that argument were based were fatally flawed, leading to a conclusion that was obviously fatally flawed.
But there's an argument to be had that you know a lot of leaders might be sociopathic.
I think that there may well be the case.
So did you get the feeling that Hussein had any intention to actually attack the United States of America?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that he was a dangerous figure in the region, and there was no doubt in my mind that we needed to pay attention to what he was doing and to contain him and to complete the unfinished business of disarmament, which we had not yet cleared him of ongoing weapons of mass destruction, which is why I thought it was perfectly appropriate to go back at this issue and put into place a new monitoring regime.
Right. Now, we were just talking about the president on the Arab television network.
I heard.
Yeah. Didn't he have that look to you, too, that it's slipping away from him?
Well, I think it is. This war has been an utter disaster for these guys. And at some point, the president is just simply going to have to wake up and realize that he has been badly served by his own intellect and his own inclination and by his staff. The trouble is, of course, as he has said in repeated interviews, he makes his decision on gut feelings and instinct. Well, I tell you, this is a very complicated world to be flying by the seat of your pants in, particularly as a leader of the world's only remaining major superpower.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Joseph Wilson, author of The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Led to War and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity. Ambassador Wilson, I read in a book, I hesitate to call it a rival book, but Bob Woodward's recent book, that Bush rejected a last-minute exile plan for Saddam Hussein that could have avoided a war. Would you have supported exile, or did you support the war?
No, what I supported was what we used to call muscular disarmament or coercive containment, basically a plan which included real tough diplomacy to get him to do what we needed him to do, which was disarm. And in order to achieve that objective, you had to be prepared to use force to achieve that objective. Now, that is far different from invading, conquering, and occupying Iraq for some of these other reasons that now it comes out the Bush administration really wanted or really had for going to war, that is to say, changing the dynamics of the region and bringing the Almighty's gift of freedom to humankind. The U.S. military is constituted to defend us against foreign threats not to change political dynamics overseas and not to bring the Almighty's gift of freedom. We have other ways of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Ambassador Wilson, how do you think George W. Bush played yesterday in the Arab world? You spent a lot of time in the Middle East. You spent time in Iraq. You've talked to Saddam Hussein. How do you, the general consensus seems to be that he did not do a great job of convincing the Arab world that America's intentions in Iraq are honorable. How do you think he played?
Well, I think one of the great problems is he went into that discussion with zero credibility anywhere in the world. He just doesn't. This war has been such a disaster. The unilateral way in which we went about this, thumbing our nose at the rest of the world, basically attempting to destroy in this war the United Nations system, which for many of these countries is their only voice on the international stage. All of that and guaranteed that at a time when we might actually need to be humble, people were going to look at us somewhat askance. Now, the real problem is, not in addition to not really apologizing, the president didn't offer any remedies other than we will bring them to justice. Well, you know, we'll see. But it does seem to me that it's very clear now with prisons run by the military in Afghanistan, Guantanamo, and Iraq, and with reports coming out now out of Afghanistan, we no longer have the moral authority to be running these extra legal type detention centers.
When the Americans start saying things like, you know, hey, we're not as bad as Saddam, that's a pretty bad sign.
If we have to be comparing ourselves to Saddam Hussein to make a case that we're okay, then that's right, that's not a very good sign. Anything is better than Saddam.
Right. We'll be right back with more stuff from Joseph Wilson. Ambassador Joseph Wilson is going to tell us about the leak that outed his wife's CIA identity. We'll have the Dream Diary and more here on Air America Radio.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net. Or toll free 1-888-922-4673.
Hello. Hello. This is Danny Glover.
Danny Glover?
I'm giving a wake-up call to every man in America. Mr. Johnson, did you know that at every age, American men have poorer health and a higher risk of mortality than women? Men experience higher instances of death due to hypertension, cancer, stress, HIV, and depression. As a matter of fact, men live sicker and die sooner from all but one of the leading causes of death. We take more risks, handle stress differently, and are less likely to schedule checkups or to follow up when symptoms arise. If you really want to be a man and take care of your family, you can start by taking care of yourself. So schedule an appointment with a doctor and find out what might go wrong before it does.
I'll call today. And thank you.
You're welcome.
For more information, contact the W.K. Kellogg Foundation at WKKF.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. Here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking.
And they don't have to be plastered to kill someone. Even one or two drinks can impair your judgment and change your life forever.
So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Good morning. I'm Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Ambassador Joe Wilson is on the phone, actually stayed on hold throughout the entire break there with us. We're back, Ambassador. We want to talk to you a little bit about the leak that outed your wife's CIA identity that Robert Novak tipped the world to on a tip from a insider that you don't know who it is. Do you know yet who it is?
No, but everybody in this town has a pretty good idea of how this thing was put together. It was essentially a group of people around the president or the vice president, specifically.
All the names were equally contemptible, but I think, Rove is the most contemptible.
Well, I think, I'm not sure whether Rove was one of these guys who participated in the actual decision or even made the phone calls, but if the president truly wants to get to the bottom of it, the first place he ought to go is Karl Rove's office and say, what do you know about this? And if you didn't do it, who did it?
Yeah, and that all the options of, who you think it is, all those different guys, funneling through the one, horrifying head of Robert Novak is, I watched him last night. I can't look at that guy.
Well, I think John Stewart had it right. He just calls him douchebag.
Ambassador, did I read a quote or hear a quote of you saying that Karl Rove ought to be frog marched in handcuffs out of the White House?
Yeah, I said that out in Seattle last year when somebody said something about the investigation. Basically, to make the point that the investigation really starts with him. This was a political act. It was an un-American act, frankly. It was despicable, designed to protect a political agenda. By essentially exposing a national security asset and thereby intimidating others from coming forward. Rove is the chief political officer, and again, he may not have been the one who made the decision, but he certainly knows who did.
Ambassador Wilson.
And by the way, I just would add, the act of pushing this story as he did for a week would not be tolerated in the towns and villages of America. I use the term frog march, which Sue will know is a British term, comes from the Middle Ages in Britain. I think a more appropriate American term, something that we grew up with, is run this SOB out of town on a rail, tarred and feathered.
Yeah,
other than that, I have
oh, we use
views.
That too. Ambassador Wilson, it's a felony to out the identity of a CIA operative. What is actually happening in Washington in terms of investigations to make sure that somebody is called to account on this and punished?
Yeah, well, one of the great things about America is that you're innocent until proven guilty. And it may well be that they're never going to be able to find enough evidence to convict these guys. But the broader point, the larger point in my mind, is the minute they opened the investigation, it became clear, irrefutable, that somebody had exposed a national security asset. And that person or those people, by definition, at the time of the opening of the investigation, became what the first President Bush, George H.W. Bush, called the most insidious of traitors. So this needs to be looked at both as a legal investigation, but also as a real breach of our secrets.
Just out of interest, what happened to your wife's career after her CIA identity was outed?
Well, it changes immediately. There are certain things that obviously she can't do because she can no longer live life as an actor playing a role in a play. She is no longer non-declared. Everybody knows who she is.
I guess you can't be a spy once everybody knows your name.
Pardon me?
You can't be a spy once everybody knows your name.
You can still serve your country, and you can still serve the organization, but the mission changes. Moreover, of course, she now becomes a name that people associate with the CIA, malcontents and others who might have a grudge against the agency.
Mm-hmm.
So she becomes known. And George Tenet goes around this town surrounded by a phalanx of bodyguards as the other known known person in the CIA.
So you're saying they've compromised your wife's security in public?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why when we did the Vanity Fair photo, for example, we did it in such a way that she could not be identified was to minimize the possibility that somebody would recognize her on the street.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was the Grace Kelly thing going on there.
Yeah.
Ambassador, you've talked about Karl Rove. You've talked about the possibility of that leak coming from either Dick Cheney or his chief of staff, Scooter Libby. You've also talked about Elliot Abrams. Elliot Abrams, among the three, has already been convicted of a felony, no?
That's right. I think everybody likes Elliot for this because that would be a twofer. Two Bush administrations, two felonies, perhaps two convictions, and we'd have to see if there would be two pardons.
Well, one more felony, he'd be up for three strikes, you're out.
Right? or somebody said, I think it was Al Franken said the other day, maybe up for automatic execution. And Al, I believe, does not support the death penalty.
He's got a few criminals in his administration, doesn't he?
Yeah, one or two.
Yeah, well, this is the idea of putting somebody who you had to pardon to keep out of jail. Actually, I think he may have gone to jail. But to putting him back in a sensitive position in the administration, I think, is a real indication of the disdain that these people have for the notion of public service.
Now, you spend a lot of time in Washington. What are you hearing about when this investigation is actually going to end?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the fact that it hasn't been brought to closure yet is a clear indication that they're stonewalling over there at the White House. The president has said he wants to get to the bottom of this, and yet here we are 7 months later, and we're not at the bottom yet. And this involves not 100 senior officials. It involves maybe a dozen or half a dozen. So why they can't get to the bottom of it yet is anybody's guess. But I would offer that either the president wasn't serious when he said I want to get to the bottom of it, or else he doesn't have any authority over his staff, or else the staff is willfully insubordinate.
Or, Ambassador Wilson, it could just be they have a ton of other things. Each day there's something new they also have to get to the bottom of, such as, you know, when Donald Rumsfeld knew about the abuses in the Abu Ghraib prison, who knew what about 9/11 and the presidential daily briefings. Perhaps it just happens that your wife's issues have actually sort of gone down the list of priorities.
Well, that could be, but I'm not going away. They're not going to drive me or my family out of the public square with these despicable acts. With respect to Rumsfeld, by the way, I was calling for his resignation. Well, I never would have wanted him to be defense secretary, but as long ago as last September, when I fronted for the Win Without War campaign to withhold the $87 billion until the administration came up with a plan and removed some of these senior officials,
mm-hmm.
His performance has been just terrible. People have died. Iraqis have died, and Americans have died because he has been such a bad Secretary of Defense, and it's unforgivable.
Final quick question, Ambassador. Have any of the sources that you used for your book cooperated or testified in front of the investigators?
I don't know. The investigators have maintained their distance. They don't share with me what they've been doing. I share with them what I found, and presumably they follow up. I would say this about both Fitzgerald and the FBI team that's working with him. They are dedicated professionals, and they hate leaks.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I have all the confidence in the world that they're doing everything they can to get to the bottom of this. The fact that they haven't been able to get to the bottom of it yet indicates that much as in Watergate, they're covering up and they're stonewalling and they're obfuscating.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Ambassador Joe Wilson.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
That's great.
Still ahead, inside the dreams of one Marc Maron. That's right. The Dream Diary is up next, plus the presidential daily briefing and some ads in some very funny places. This is Air America Radio.
As a child, she's kidnapped by another tribe. Later, she's won in a game by a traitor. She's just 14 when, in the brutal winter of 1804, she has a son. A son she'll carry some 7,000 miles on a journey no man has ever made, with Lewis, Clark, and the Corps of Discovery. This alone is enough to make Sacagawea a hero. But there's more. She pulls her weight. She shares her knowledge. She speaks her mind. Sacagawea is known for her role as a cultural translator, but she was much more, because as William Clark noted, a woman and a mother with a party of men is a symbol of peace. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The International Red Cross has broken its silence and now admits to having knowledge of the prisoner abuse issue. The organization says it repeatedly warned the American authorities about the problem, but refused to comment on the situation until today. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld returns to the Senate hot seat tomorrow to respond to a host of questions on his handling of the alleged abuse issue. The one question on the minds of many inside and out the Senate is why did it take so long before any disclosure was made about the issue until the media picked it up in recent weeks. According to a published report this morning, the Justice Department is looking into whether criminal charges should be filed against two American civilians suspected of instigating prisoner abuse in Iraq. And it looks like the government spent a lot of time and money in the late 1960s through the 70s examining the activities of Vietnam War veteran John Kerry, especially his anti-war activities. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
What's up, Sprite Remix drinkers? It's Jermaine Dupri, and I'm bringing you that remix, man. Down South flavor. Taste this. I like that taste.
The Swiss Beats is going to give you a different flavor. East Coast style, check it out.
Sprite Remix, they're doing it again with brand new Sprite Remix Berry Clear. Out with tropical flavor, in with the crisp taste of berry. New Sprite Remix Berry Clear. Rethink, remix, refresh.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple? Or enjoyed a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many of the foods you enjoy are harvested through the hard work of migrant farm workers and their families. Please make a donation to the Harvest of Hope Foundation so we can continue to provide emergency aid and educational scholarships to migrant families and their children. Check out the Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
The old Franken Factor.
I like to appeal to people's better angels.
Sorry, this is from the man who wrote Big Fat Idiot.
Air America's Al Franken.
He lost 100 pounds after I wrote the book. I saved a man's life, for God's sake. Except I now I might think that maybe that's when he got addicted. So now it's he's sort of a big drug addict. Big stupid drug addict. This is a drug addict.
Al Franken and Catherine Lamfer. Weekdays noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Thursday. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Today is the National Day of Prayer, which I am going to get to and deconstruct a bit, to say it nicely, in a moment. But right now, as some of you know, some of you love and some of you disdain, of course, like everything else, yeah, it's time for my dream diary. My therapist, who I see today, and I will bring this to him along with the other dreams I've discussed here on the air the last week or so. I do this every day. I'm going to try and make my way through my waking consciousness scribble. This is my dream from last night, all right? So I'm on TV, okay, and I'm one of the friends, and all six of them and me are attached at the hip by these big, scary flaps of tanned friend flesh, all right? And they're all crying because it's their last show. And I'm like, hey, why are you crying? You're rich, you're thin, you got residuals till whenever. I mean, one or two, you might make a good movie someday. I doubt it, but I mean, it might happen. But they're all ignoring me. And Schwimmer's starting to get tears in his eyes. And, you know, he's getting Schwimmer snot on my jacket, which is purple, by the way, Schwimmer snot. So, and then we all start to move together for a group hug, like some creepy six-headed caterpillar beast thing. And I'm getting, like, completely grossed out because I got, you know, Schwimmer snot. And, you know, so here's what happens. I realize these are not my friends. I will not bond. So I get out a machete and I start hacking away at the conjoined swimmer flesh. All right, and it hurts like hell. And there's blood and it's flying everywhere. And I can't stop. And I'm hacking so hard, I drop the machete. So I have to bite my way through the rest of the connecting tissue, until I'm free. It's all bloody and filled with self-disgust, but I'm free. I'm free of friends. I look back, and they had turned into the Beverly Hillbillies. And you know what? They looked a lot better for a second. And I woke up, and my bed was filled with Thursday night. That's kind of kind of trippy, man. That was way trippy, a little violent, kind of creepy and weird.
Does your therapist charge you more than does other people? He probably should.
Yeah,
there's extra work, I think, involved with you.
Well, no, I get some big laughs there in the therapist's office.
Oh,
he
good?
Says,
really?
Did you really dream that? And I go, yeah, I did.
He goes, you for free because you're so funny?
Yeah.
You don't have to pay me this week, Mark.
Sometimes that actually happens. I'll be with my therapist, who's a CSW. He's not a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And we'll get to talking about stuff, and when he does something, I'll say, isn't that sort of like when Freud did this? I'll start talking, it's not really a therapy session. It becomes this intellectual discussion, and I'll go, do I have to pay you now? I mean, it seems like I help you out a little bit. Am I wrong?
No, look, it's a two-way street.
So this is National Prayer Day. I don't watch Friends. I've seen it maybe 3 times. I understand that it's important to a lot of people, and I understand that those people have, problems they want to avoid in their life.
I want to see Fat Friends. I want to see Fat Friends as a sequel.
Uh-oh.
I want to see them all put on weight and actually look, how they would look if they hadn't been done over with all the makeup and hairstyles and 29 versions of lip color they've all had. Every time I go onto AOL to check email or something, up comes something about these people, and you click on it, and I confess I do it sometimes, and it's like, which hairstyle did Courtney Cox look best in? It's like,
who's Courtney Cox?
This is,
I have no idea. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's something going on that one of the writers was sued for sexual harassment. I don't know where that website is. It was kind of funny, though. Let's get to that in a little while. I want to talk about the Bill of Rights, Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Yet, beginning in the late 1940s, a series of federal laws began melding religious mottos and oaths into the framework of government as a way to distinguish us from the godless communists. The bill for the National Day of Prayer became law under President Truman in 1952, requiring the president to proclaim a day of his choosing each year. 2 years later, Congress inserted under God into the Pledge of Allegiance as a means of advancing religion at a time we were, really nervous about communism. And those days are over. That's the looming communist threat. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, yet we have National Prayer Day. Why is that? And when someone proposed National Day of Reason, no, you can't have that. That was an unreasonable request. And the government, the governor of Pennsylvania said the reason is because every day should be a day of reason.
Well, how come we have National Secretary's Day, and you could argue that every day should be Respect Secretary's Day?
You should, that's right,
you should respect
your secretary. You should be reasonable, but you should choose whether or not you want to pray, because you might not believe in a God to pray to.
Why don't we have National Reasonable Prayer for Secretary's Day? Why don't we just lump it all together every single day?
That'll tie it all.
Why not have National Pray to Your Secretary Day?
Bring your children to National Prayer for Reasonable Secretary's Day.
Are there even such things as secretaries anymore? Isn't that in and of itself some sort of weird politically incorrect term now? Isn't everybody a professional assistant?
Administrative assistant.
An administrative assistant.
Yes.
That's if they have a job.
Now, here's the thing about the prayer day, because I really couldn't figure out for a long time what it was you were supposed to be praying about or for.
Yeah.
Now I know.
What?
According to the website of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, the day is meant to focus, quote, on the need to pray for the well-being of America. Well, who could be against that? And for those in leadership on all levels of national, church, and educational areas of influence. Now, does that mean that they should be praying for whoever that geek was that from the Southern Baptist that wants to pull all their kids out of public schools?
It basically means pray for all the people that are in power and forget about the poor people and the little people and everything else. Isn't that basically what that says?
I want to pray for the wackos that, do some of these stupid things, like, for example, Oliver North, who's apparently part of this
National. He's on the task force, Shirley Dobson, the wife of Focus on the Family founder James Dobson on the task force.
You know, if prayer restores America's image as one of honorable, an image of honor that should be respected and as a legitimate kind of world leader and kind of democratic, you know, beacon of hope for everybody, I'm all for prayer.
You ask too much. There's no way in the world prayer is going to do that. You'd have to be on your knees from now until Christmas.
I'm willing.
Start praying now.
I'm willing.
You can put together a prayer for that.
I'm
all of that.
I'm going to sit down in the corner, cross my legs, and I'm going to chant Om for the rest of the show.
That's not a prayer. That's meditation. That's very different.
Well, that's all I can muster. I'm sorry. It's my
different.
Little contribution.
In our call segment, soon.
Soon.
Can we get a number?
Oh, yeah. First, I want to say that there's a rally in Pennsylvania.
Harrisburg.
Scheduled for today on the steps of the Pennsylvania State Capitol building. It's immediately following a Christian group who's going to do a day of prayer rally. There's a day of reason rally. And these are by, this is the day of reason people. It's a 400-member group of atheists, agnostics, and secular humanists. And that's today at 1 o'clock. We're going to take your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We want to hear from atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, people who respect the Constitution, and free thinkers and believers, all on the day of prayer. Legit, not legit? What's your prayer? You know the score. Just, you know, call us up and say something, will you? Air America Radio.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Imagine if stars fell from the sky.
Imagine if there were no bombs.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine if everybody was happy.
It's easy if you try.
Imagine if everyone would live in peace and harmony.
No hell below us.
Imagine if there were no borders.
Imagine a worldwide movement that works to protect the dignity and rights of every man, woman, and child.
Imagine all the people.
And imagine it works. That's Amnesty International. Join the millions around the globe who support basic human rights. Call 1-800-AMNESTY or visit amnestyusa.org, and the world will live as one.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy?
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, and in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AARO, 866-303-2270. We're talking about the National Day of Prayer. We want to hear from atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, free thinkers, prayers, great people who pray.
Christians, Buddhists.
Whatever you got.
Muslims, Jews.
Give us a call.
Everybody.
Right now, it's time for the Presidential Daily Briefing, the top secret dispatch from the intelligence community that hits the president's desk every day, and we get a copy of it from our inside guy. Today's PDB is titled Apologies Threaten Strong Leadership. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that hostile elements on the left are consistently pressuring you to apologize for perceived wrongdoings, i.e., the prison abuses in Iraq, the invasion of Iraq, intelligence failures before 9/11, your presidency, and yes, your existence. Any sign of contrition will be seen as an act of weakness. This leaves your administration with two possible courses of action. A, stop making mistakes, or B, adamantly continue refusing to acknowledge them. We believe the second is far more feasible. To paraphrase the old saying, if a mistake happens in the desert and no one is around to admit it, did it really happen? As you may be aware, even some within your own administration are urging you to apologize. His name rhymes with Folan Mowell. If this is unclear, perhaps Mr. Cheney can enlighten you. We recommend that if initial denials prove ineffective, say them again, only louder. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. Powerful PDB this morning. Let's go to the callers.
Powerful.
We've got Joe in New Jersey. Joe.
Howdy.
Good. Hey. How you doing?
Mark and Sue. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Love your show, and I'm a new listener to Air America Radio. I appreciate y'all having this network. It's a really great thing.
Thank you.
Well, I just called because I'm going to be one of those atheist picketers out on the line in New Jersey. There are going to be three pickets, and I'm helping to organize them.
What part of Jersey?
Three of them. There's going to be one in Edison, one in North Brunswick, and one in Somerville. And I'll be at the Somerville one at least.
Oh, great. And you can get information on atheist.org/NJ.
That's correct.
And what do you guys, how many you think are going to go out there, Joe?
Well, we have heard from at least a half dozen, and we'll probably have more because word is traveling. Word is getting out there, and a lot of people are really upset about what's happening at certain town halls and city halls.
Right.
And again, this is not against prayer itself.
Right.
This is not against someone's right to believe or have a religion.
It's a constitutional issue.
Right. We agree with everyone's freedom of conscience.
Right.
What is in question here is the government involvement.
Exactly.
And we have gone through a list. PrayNJ.org.
Okay.
Has a list. And we went through that and found several different government-involved events.
Great. Well, good luck with it. Thanks for calling, Joe, and then go on out there if you want to support that.
She's being thorough.
Yeah, very. Tom, in Texas.
Yeah, well, I'm driving a truck somewhere in Texas, and I appreciate your show.
Thank you.
It's the first time I've heard it. But with the National Day of Prayer, I don't really believe that there's shouldn't be such a great movement against it.
Right.
You don't pray.
Right, but if you want to maintain a constitutional separation of church and state, don't initiate a day of prayer that was, you know, put through by Congress. It seems to go against the Constitution.
Well, you have prayer.
I think prayer is like using cell phones, is that you should really do it in private, quietly, and with your hands on the steering wheel.
Well, we get truckers who are listening to XM Radio, and we certainly appreciate it. We're sorry we lost you there, Tom.
I hope it was just that we lost the signal.
Yeah, Rom in Texas. Rom.
Hey, how are you, fellows?
Yeah,
What's up, Rom?
Oh, buddy, how you doing, man?
Not bad.
Okay.
Hey, I want to call you as an ex-Hindu.
An ex-Hindu, interesting.
Yes, sir.
I think...
Religion has a place in society.
Yes.
Like how the training wheels of a bicycle has a place for a 3-year-old.
Interesting analogy.
And once...
Sorry, we were playing some Enlightenment music.
And once you grow up, you have to grow out of your religion
mm-hmm.
into a more humanistic sense.
Interesting.
And people who are extremely religious when they are 30 and 40 years old, It's like a 30 or 40-year-old riding around in a bicycle with training wheels. It just looks stupid.
Oh, wow.
That's a tremendous analogy.
Don't miss words.
I really like that analogy. You're saying that you can learn lessons from the teachings of religion and eventually evolve out of the dogma into somebody who has integrated those lessons into a more human perspective.
Yes, and I follow all religious people as long as they have something interesting to say, not just because they are religious.
Ram, what made you decide to drop Hinduism?
It's because I've traveled all around the world, and I see good people everywhere, and people are not good because they are Christians or Hindus or Muslims or whatever. They are good because they decide to be good. And if religion's purpose is to make people good, then it's certainly not working. It's the people's own decision to be good is what seems to be working.
So it wasn't that you disagreed with anything, you just felt that adhering to one religion was too limiting.
Yeah, I mean, people tend to judge other people based on their allegiances to their clan. You know, either you are with us or against us sort of a thing.
Right. Well, thank you for your insight, Ram. It's very interesting to talk to you. Thanks for calling. Again.
Did you get my little goodies?
Which ones?
Hey, I sent you some stuff.
Oh, well, I'm sure we will go upstairs and look for it.
All right.
what was the stuff? Can you give us a hint?
It was a little figurine of Ganesh.
Oh, I want to go. The little elephant guy?
Yes.
I didn't get it.
You're discarding all your tchotchkes because you're an ex-Hindu? Sending them to us?
Who did you send it to? Care of Morning Sedition?
Yeah, Mark Maron.
Oh, it hasn't come yet. I'm very excited. Thank you, Ron.
I sent all of you gifts. Don't worry about it.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You know, you got to be careful when you say, did you get the stuff I sent?
I can do some doses.
That's great. We'll be back with Recovery Corner and more here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
Hello, this is Della Reese, and I'd like for you to meet Faith in Action. Faith in Action means that people keep their independence. How? By getting help from volunteers. People of different faiths who shop, cook, drive, or just check in on some of the millions of Americans with long-term health care needs. If you're like me and have wondered how you can make a difference, volunteer with Faith in Action. They know how to use your time and talents right in your community. Even just a few hours can make a world of difference. A neighbor's independence depends on you and me. Faith in Action. Try it. Find out how good it feels at faithinaction.org or toll free 1-877-FAITH-11. That's faithinaction.org or toll free 1-877-FAITH-11.
At the age of 20, I was in a chemical explosion that left me blind for 31 years.
Thanks to a cornea transplant, John was able to see his wife for the first time in 31 years. And his children for the first time ever.
I looked across and my wife's face was very clear. And I told her, I'd like you to know that I can see you now. And I really want you to know, Nita, that the years have been very kind to you. I approached my children and I couldn't say anything. Not a word. All I could do was hold my children and weep. It was totally amazing to see these people. For the first time in my life, I was looking at my children
And at that time, I just simply folded up my folding cane and put it in my back pocket, and I never had to use it since.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatealife.net.
It's morning. It's Thursday. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We've been having a nice chat.
We've been having a ball. Come on, admit it.
Yes. Hi, my name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
It's time for Recovery Corner. This is a daily thing I do to reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. And as always, I am offering my love and my reach out to my sponsee, my temporary sponsee, George W. This Iraqi prison torture situation isn't bringing out your best, George W. I mean, you sent Condi and Armitage and McClellan to apologize. Now, who's missing from that list, buddy? Here's a little hint. It's not Norm Mineta. It's you, pal. You, George W. You've got to step up and apologize for yourself. You've got layers of denial to get through. Peel back that onion, George W. Fear is the dark room where negatives are developed. Maybe you should apologize to the people you sent out to apologize. But don't even think about sending someone to apologize to the people you sent out to apologize. Then your life would become a hall of mirrors, my friend. Just say, I'm sorry. You're only as sick as your secrets. Before you say, I can't, say, I'll try. Remember, it's alcohol. It's not alcohol was... What is that? Keep it real, buddy. First things first, one day at a time. Remember, if you got one foot in yesterday and one foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. And God doesn't wake up and think he's you. That's Recovery Corner for today, May 6th, Thursday.
I'm sure your friends are, your sponsee is happy that you did that. But, you know, there's something that you mentioned that really does apply to one person in the Bush administration.
Yeah.
Because he does have one foot in yesterday and one foot in on tomorrow.
Right.
And he is peeing on today.
Yes.
And his name is Don Rumsfeld.
Don Rumsfeld, not living the day at a time.
You know, he got criticized yesterday. Bush dogged him out. He's going to be testifying in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee, who wants to know why they weren't in the loop about these abuse allegations. So he's got one foot in yesterday and one foot in tomorrow.
Right.
And today must be really great for him.
Well, he's taking, you know, it's high time, man. It's high time that he's been, he should be held responsible. Someone, you know, at least from the top brass should really, you know, take a hit on this.
You think he's a goner?
He's
done?
Well, I think they have a no apology policy and a no one leaves policy.
What about a no Rumsfeld policy?
I don't know. How could they do that without it, you know, without it being a concession to the people that are right and true?
I don't know.
Like
but, you know, John McCain, a Republican,
yeah,
said if yeah. this gets if this scandal goes to Rumsfeld Rumsfeld's office, he's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's McCain.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, you know, H. Rapp Brown.
There's got to be more of that coming from the Republicans. They've got to see this whole thing slipping away because of Bush's mistakes and because of the mistakes of those guys, those neocons that are in charge of the planet.
Let's see what happened today. There was a suicide car bomb this morning outside an American checkpoint on a bridge that leads right into the compound of houses where most of the American administrators live.
So, is that Bremer's place?
I don't know if it's Bremer's place, but it's a lot of high-up people in the administration who are kind of over there in Baghdad. I mean, that is everything everybody said earlier this week, that, you know, people there are mad. I also, what I don't understand is how come with all the sensitivity over the photographs and videos out of the Abu Ghraib prison and the amount of abuse and how furious people in Iraq and in other countries are, why is the American military leading its first big major assault against the Shiite insurgents over the last day or two?
You know, he promised suicide bombs if they came after.
And that's probably what you think.
Al-Sadr. I mean, I can't say that this was his work specifically, but he promised, if you come after me, there will be suicide bombs. In the last hour of Morning Sedition, if you didn't know today is the National Day of Prayer, you will when Mark Maron's done. Plus, part two of our conversation with an interrogator who worked at Iraq's notorious Abu Ghraib prison. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
NBC Tonight, the biggest night of the year, Friends Finale Night.
Yay!
Everyone will be watching.
I'm just thinking of all the stuff I should have said and I didn't.
Don't be the only one on the planet who doesn't know how it ends.
I am so in love with you. Please don't go.
But that's not all. After an all-new ER and your late local news, join Jay Leno with the entire cast on the Friends set for the very last time.
It's just the perfect way to say goodbye.
Friends Finale Night. It all starts at 8, 7 Central, NBC Tonight.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges. Clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease Nasal Spray.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush, in a televised interview on American-sponsored Arab TV, made clear that people will be held to account for the abuse of Iraqi prisoners. Whether U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is among them still remains to be seen, but the president, as of yesterday, gave Rumsfeld a public vote of confidence, although White House sources say he reprimanded the secretary for purportedly making him among the last to know of the problem. The president claims he first learned of the incidents of prisoner abuse by watching television. That development runs counter to the administration's hands-on approach to any scandal that would risk its credibility, especially in an election year. Rumsfeld faces the Senate tomorrow to answer questions about prisoner abuse and why it was kept under wraps for months. International Red Cross says it knew all along but kept quiet about conditions inside the infamous Abu Ghraib prison. The agency said it refused to disclose publicly what was going on, even though they repeatedly warned American military officials about the problem. Agency declined to say why it decided to go public with the information just today. Red Cross has routinely conducted visits with the prisoners at the facility, but refused to say anything about what was happening. President Bush's appearance on Arab TV yesterday to respond to the prisoner abuse scandal has, by most accounts, garnered little positive response in the Middle East. Joseph Wilson, former acting ambassador to Iraq, spoke with Air America's Morning Sedition today about the Arab reaction.
Well, I think one of the great problems is he went into that discussion with zero credibility anywhere in the world. The unilateral way in which we went about this, thumbing our nose at the rest of the world, guaranteed that at a time when we might actually need to be humble, people were going to look at us somewhat askance.
Wilson's recent book alleges that the Iraq war was based on lies and that the Bush administration engaged in a smear campaign against him, including outing his wife as a CIA operative because of his outspoken opposition to the war. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry has accused the Bush administration of moving at a snail's pace and acting inappropriately on the issue of prisoner abuse in Iraq. Kerry called on President Bush to express his regrets. Kerry yesterday stopped short of saying whether Bush should have issued an outright apology, but he called for the resignation of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Yet more images of prisoner abuse in Iraq. The Washington Post has published new digital photographs of naked men who were apparently prisoners sprawled on top of each other with soldiers standing around them. One photo shows the naked man with a hood over his head handcuffed to a cell door. Another shows the naked man handcuffed to a bunk bed with a pair of women's underwear covering his head and face. A British official says she has learned of another case of alleged prisoner abuse in Iraq. Baghdad remains a violent city in spite of a lull in unrest there over several months. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first steps the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's going to get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda, here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
Tonight at 5 and 6 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News, terror-proofing our subways and trains. Is the MTA dragging its feet?
That's unacceptable.
The Eyewitness News investigators confront the MTA. Bus at 5, getting you and your baby to sleep through the night. Eyewitness News just found a new way to help. Bus, who'll be the next Martha Stewart? Meet the new domestic diva. It all starts with Diana Williams, Jade Baderanois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah, 6 weeks in a coma, on the brink of death. Luther Vandross talks.
He just about came back from the dead.
The first interview sends his massive stroke. Then, Simon Cowell's mother tells all. And meet the woman behind, Senator Hillary Clinton.
You want your daughter to run for president?
I had to ask you!
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
My name is Tyler. I'm 15 years old. I was 11 years old when I found out that I had cancer. I was afraid that I was going to lose my leg.
For Tyler, a bone transplant meant a chance to live a normal life.
If I hadn't had the transplant, I would probably have a prosthesis. But the transplant let me be a normal kid again. I play lots of golf. I love golf. That's pretty much my sport. I've been in a few tournaments and I've done pretty well.
Tyler is among the hundreds of thousands of people who've been given their life back, all because someone else made the decision to become an organ and tissue donor.
Well, I'm just like any other regular high school kid. I just like to do a lot of things with my friends, and sometimes I tell people that I got my scars on my shark bite. Girls love it when I tell them that. I think people should become a donor because it gives someone else their life back.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
Listen, Bush came down here. We want to send him back.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
I've never heard people really, truly own up to the fact that we do have an electoral college, and that is why George Bush won the election.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
I don't have any problem with him disagreeing with Bush and thinking he's wrong. I think all the Democrats are wrong.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Good God, it's National Prayer Day and Thursday. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. And we'll talk with, coming up soon in this hour, we're going to talk more with former interrogator at Abu Ghraib Prison about what he saw there.
Torin Wilson.
Torin Wilson. And Barbara Streisand will weigh in with today's march.
Wait. Did you say, what did you say?
Torin Nelson.
Sorry.
I keep saying Wilson. We had Joseph Wilson.
May have done it.
You may have done it?
Yeah, is that Tori Wilson, the wrestler?
The wrestler.
Torin Nelson is the interrogator. Who
I was channeling
there.
You. I have no interest in Tori Wilson, the wrestler. I was just
but
inside your head for a moment.
You have some interest in Torin Wilson.
No, Nelson. Torin Wilson, I think, is very smart and very compelling.
No, good. We'll hear you talking
in very many ways.
I know. We talked to him on the phone yesterday, and Sue was blushing and gushing and excited.
I thought he was very cerebral, and he made a very, very good point about the, you know, psychological demands of successful interrogation.
And it made me realize that there's a part of you that I just don't ever see. You know, I don't.
Nor will you ever, Mark.
Wait a minute now. Is your husband at work? Can he hear this on the internet?
Husband?
Okie doke.
So as you know,
I'm just teasing.
When you're married, you're allowed to have crushes and flirt a bit, and you know.
My wife listens to this show. I'm not allowed anything.
I used to actually think that when I was unhappily married the first time, that really anything...
No, don't say it that way.
What?
It sounds as though you were unhappily married the second time. You meant in my first marriage.
Oh, no. In my first marriage.
That was bad semantics.
And it was no fault of my wife's. I was, you know, maybe angry, confused, bitter, not happy, you know. But there was some part of me that really believed that anything right up until intercourse was just flirting. Anything else was just a rational...
You and Bill Clinton.
Exactly. Oh. That's why I so identified with him and felt his pain.
Mm-hmm, I'm sure. But not as much pain as your wife felt, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I apologized the best I could. And she's getting married again, and everything is okay.
You going to the wedding?
What, are you crazy?
It's not that okay.
Are you crazy?
It's never that okay.
I mean, just checking.
I wouldn't have a problem with it, actually, but I'm sure that she would not want me there in any way.
And I don't think her new husband would be all that happy either.
I met him briefly. This was. I shouldn't be. All right. I met him briefly.
Isn't there really big stuff happening in Iraq?
I met him briefly. You know, it was one of those, you know, horrendous sort of bumping into them together. It was horrible for both of us.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing he said? He goes, so you're Marc Maron.
Ooh, that's it?
That was it. And I don't even know what the stories were that led up to that. Or couldn't have been good. So it is National Prayer Day. If you're in New Jersey, there's a couple of marches. You can get the information on atheist.org/NJ. And in Pennsylvania, scheduled for 1 o'clock p.m. on the steps of the Pennsylvania State Capitol Building in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, after a Christian group finishes its day of prayer rally. There is a Day of Reason rally that you can attend, and we are, you know, questioning the integrity of National Prayer Day as being a violation of the separation between church and state.
I got another problem with this National Prayer Day.
Yeah.
I was raised to be tolerant. I'm tolerant of a lot more than some people think I should be. But when I see the people that are part of this National Day of Prayer Task Force, when I see the name of Oliver North,
right.
When I see this woman, Shirley Dobson, I think her name is, whose husband runs that family values.
Yeah,
these are people who have their own, apparently very unique view of what Christianity is, what it should be, who and what people should be practicing. As far as their Christian faith is concerned.
And
it's not mine.
It's so little that has to do with anything that Jesus would do.
Absolutely.
What would Jesus do? Not what they're doing.
Not what they're doing, but they seem to think that they represent American Christianity, and that bothers me no end. Oliver North is, as when I last checked, a convicted felon, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So why should anybody listen to him when it comes to Christian values?
That's true, but...
Not to say that he can't be redeemed.
Or forgiven.
Or forgiven. But, you know, this whole kind of speaking in tongues, I know and you don't kind of thing, it just drives me up a wall.
I think most people believe in God just in case. You know, if there's
you're going to have Jonathan shoot, our producer's going to shoot out of here like a gun if talking about some, that choice.
Some sort of, if there's some sort of, the you know, bad list, you don't want to be on it. You don't want to be the guy that dies and has to go, oh, hey, sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Downstairs? Okay.
You think that might be the governor of New Jersey, James McGreevy?
Oh, that's right. What's he? He's not going to take...
I admire him, though. He's the one who says that he's not going to take communion in a public service and that it's his religion is a private matter. Absolutely. I think good for him. I guess a public service where other people can see him take it. I mean, I don't know.
But maybe he means it not as a publicity thing or as a...
No, you have to understand that they didn't want him to take it publicly. The Archbishop of Newark said that abortion rights supporters, and McGreevy happens to be one, should not take public communion. That's what he's reacting to. He's saying, essentially, okay, you don't want me to take it publicly, I won't take it publicly.
Well, and then part of me wants him to kind of stand up and say, how dare you impose your views on me? My interpretation of my religion is my own issue. But on the other hand, I do get offended and very bothered by the imposition on everybody here that politicians have to be very public about their religious beliefs. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Well, has there ever been an atheist elected president of the United States?
Not that would say it.
Not that would say it.
Absolutely not. The question is, can you actually run for the...
On the atheist platform?
Can you run for office, White House office, saying that you don't believe in God, or that you're not sure, or that you don't practice, or that you don't end all of your speeches with, God bless America?
How are you going to do that?
It's not possible.
The answer is no.
A lot of people equate those words with hope and faith and belief. How do you pander to the frightened and deluded without, exploiting your connection with God?
I don't know. Well, James McGreevy apparently is going to have or won't say whether he will have private communion. But I have an invitation for the governor of New Jersey.
And by the way, one second real quick. I am frightened and deluded. Again, I'm not judging people. I just choose to go in a different place with my fear and delusion. Go ahead.
How can you have private communion? You just take communion at home? Somebody comes to your home? Like
no,
a
you go to
thing?
A quiet corner of the church and a priest, I guess, administers it to you.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I thought the point of communion was that it was communal and that you did it in front of other people as witnesses in a church service. Does it have the same value if you do it on your own with one other person?
I don't know. I'm not a Catholic. So I don't know. You know, Catholics may have a different view of it. But I got an invitation. Governor McGreevy, if you want, you can come to St. Mark's Church in Teaneck, New Jersey. They give everyone communion that wants it, regardless of what
you don't
believe
have to
on
do
abortion.
It in the corner.
You don't have to do it in a corner. You don't have to do it privately. The priest at that church. Now, again, Catholics technically are not supposed to take communion in any other church but a Catholic church.
Mm-hmm.
But since, you know, they're mad with him about abortion, he might as well make them real mad.
Right. I think at my church, you couldn't take communion unless you had been confirmed.
Yeah, that was same with me, but they've changed.
You could go up and be blessed. You could walk past and you didn't receive the bread, you didn't take a sip of the wine, but the vicar would put his hands on you and just say a blessing.
Yeah.
I just to keep picturing like a private communion, but, you know, the priest going, come here, the body of Christ, come here. Come on, we'll just go behind over here. Come on, don't let anyone see you.
There were always people like you hiding out. Behind the lectern, Mark.
There were? In a church?
Well, you know, this is an expanding thing because Senator Kerry went through the same thing.
Yeah.
About whether or not he was going to take a public communion because he had a problem. And, you know, there is the issue, the Catholic Church, Pope John Paul, has gone very public with his opposition to the death penalty. I have yet to hear any of these bishops say that people who disagree with the Pope on the death penalty should not be allowed to take communion. In other words, people who support it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then half the state of Texas, the Catholics wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, killing people's different.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Killing people that are grown up.
I missed that part of religious instruction.
But I think that the more that church leaders stand very rigidly on these issues, on being determinedly anti-abortion, on the issues on death penalty, anything that people should not be dictated to, that how they interpret their religion is a matter of intense privacy, the church will continue to lose people who publicly acknowledge that they are members of the church, which is why you explain falling church attendance.
Yeah, it's like falling off a lot, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, half.
About half. Yeah. You know, half the numbers of people, as so they used to go to church, say they go to church now, then however many, was it several years ago?
Yeah.
Well, you got to figure that, given that, you know, Christianity and certainly certain types of Christianity, evangelical Christianity, born-again Christianity, is sort of like they really try to recruit people in to their folds. So I imagine if you go to a church that has enough, you know, sort of, you know, fundamentalist kind of, you know, born-again types within the church, it's not necessarily a born-again church, that you feel pressured to believe a certain way, like you're saying, and why would you go there?
Well, apparently the polls show that, you know, double the number of people say they don't go to church now.
So, it's from 39 million to 75 million, and that's in the last 13 years alone.
Doesn't mean they don't.
75 million, that's big.
That doesn't mean they don't believe in God. Doesn't mean that they're not practicing religion. It just means that, you know, they've chosen for whatever reason not to go to church.
Doesn't mean they're bad people. And that's the interesting part to me, because there's always been this kind of subtle thing, I think, and I won't say all Christianity, but like if you don't go, there's something, you're doing something wrong.
Right.
Because I remember that when I did take confirmation when I was a teenager, it was about that it's not enough to have a private faith, is that it doesn't really count. If you say, yes, I believe, unless you go every Sunday and become part of your church community, you are not actively participating and you are not active in your faith. That was a very big thing. Church of England, which is Protestant.
But it's all about community, is I think what you're saying.
It's about showing up.
It's about dollars, too,
because
if you don't show
up,
you can't put the money in the collection plate.
Still ahead, we'll talk to a former interrogator who worked at the Abu Ghraib prison about what he saw there and later the liberal agenda because Barbara demanded it right here on Air America Radio.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Add a little color to your life at the JCPenney Salon May Color Sale. Save 10% on all hair color services featuring Matrix, the number one professional hair color. Plus, get a free 4-ounce Biolage Color Care Conditioner of $3.95 value. Maybe it's time for honey-hued highlights or bye-bye gray. Call 1-800-542-5565 for locations near you. Don't miss the JCPenney Salon May Color Sale.
It's always
time. JCPenney Salon. See store for details. Free gifts with color while supplies last. Sale May 2nd to 22nd.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plictanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plictanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plictanium plywood. Build it better.
Mrs. Lawson? Mrs. Lawson, your rent is overdue.
I still don't have it. I'm sorry.
It's been 2 months.
I know, but I have 3 kids. I'm doing everything I can, but I just don't have enough money.
Is that the door, Mom?
Nobody, Catherine. Why don't you go play with your brother?
Mrs. Lawson, I can't keep coming back like this.
I'm doing everything I can. I don't know what else to do.
I need some money.
I know.
Rent or food. 1 in 5 American children faces hunger because of decisions like this. To help, call 1-800-FEED-KIDS or visit feedingchildrenbetter.org. Hunger, a choice no one should have to make. A public service message brought to you by America's Second Harvest, Feeding Children Better, and the Ad Council.
Twenty past the hour on Thursday morning. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. And it's time for us now to hack into the president's Palm Pilot for today. We got a guy at the place who gets us a thing. He gets us, this is right off the WhiteHouse.gov and into the president's Palm Pilot. It's his schedule. 8 a.m. Wake up. Initiate shoe tying sequence. 8:25, finish tying shoes. 8:26, take off shoes and put on pants first. Noon, post-war planning meeting, talking points. When is this thing going to end, and when do we start getting some of that oil? 1:15 p.m., meet with King of Jordan. Note, do not call him Air Jordan. 2:35 p.m., speech on National Day of Prayer. Ask the Lord for strength in these trying times and for another popular black guy to replace Powell after he quits. 4:30 p.m., weekly shredding of embarrassing documents, CIA memos, pre-9/11 FBI warnings, and SpongeBob doodle pad. 5:15 p.m., authorize the unauthorized anti-Kerry ads. 8 p.m., everyone watching Friends finale. Quietly cut funding for something. 9 p.m., bedtime. Initiate shoe untying sequence. Big day.
Big day.
Big day for the president.
Well, yesterday was a big day for the president. He went on the offensive,
mm-hmm.
I guess,
mm-hmm.
In terms of going on 2 different Arab television outlets. One, I think, is satellite. One, I guess, maybe just a regular television network.
Well, the satellite one is the one that we own?
America doesn't own it.
Congress funds one of
them. So completely.
And then Arab investors.
Unbiased.
And the other one. Al-Hara is the Congress-backed, and the Al-Arabiya is a bunch of Arab investors.
And Al Jazeera is the one he won't do because
won't
it's
do.
Sort of the Arab's Fox News.
Yeah, but that's the one that that apparently has the largest number of viewers.
And would actually give him the most sort of bang for the buck, would actually do something in rehabilitating his image, possibly.
But they think that it's anti-American.
I think his image may be beyond repair, but that didn't stop him
Yay!
From trying. He really did try to speak to the Arab populations about his revulsion about these latest photo scandals.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did something that, Mark, you pointed out earlier this morning, was really, really stupid. Not dumb, not unintelligent, stupid. He decided to invoke Saddam Hussein to say, well, we're better than him. Let's hear our president.
His trained torturers were never brought to justice under his regime. There were no investigations about mistreatment of people. There will be investigations. People will be brought to justice.
Great. So we're better than Saddam Hussein.
We're better than Saddam Hussein.
Wow, I feel better.
He wasn't the only one. I think Rumsfeld said, you know, that we didn't have 300,000 people tortured. It was the same compassion. It does seem rather embarrassing. That's the best thing that you can say, that we're not nearly as bad as Saddam Hussein was.
It's like we are supposed to be the example of international human rights. And that's that. Now he's judging us. I can't even put myself in the we right now. He's judging us against Saddam
Hussein. Not only that, he seems to have this thing about having to explain to the Arab people precisely what democracy is, and particularly that component about being innocent until proven guilty. He said that in this case, the soldiers are innocent until proven guilty.
People are treated innocent until proven guilty, and facts are now being gathered. Secondly, there's investigations to determine how widespread abuse may be occurring, and we want to know the truth.
Well, hang on a minute. He didn't seem that those who allegedly committed the abuses don't seem to have followed the rule that the Iraqi prisoners were innocent until proven guilty.
Well, no, neither does Bush. Jose Padilla is guilty until proven guilty. And by the way, there seems to be some evidence, if you talk to people in the legal community, that if they actually brought Jose Padilla to a regular American criminal trial, he'd walk. Unlike Martha Stewart, for example.
Well, that's true. They don't. Are they not? They're not using the same standards.
No, not at all.
I just don't. Does he think that the nads on this president to think? What does he think? No one's watching or listening. That everybody in the world isn't paying attention to what he's going through and how private and secretive his administration is, and how he won't take any action unless pushed to the wall. And then to just go over there and pretend like he's part of some open society where he's doing nothing but promoting fear and secrecy within his own administration. The hypocrisy of this guy is mind-blowing.
I think it's bad that he just simply, or nobody can come out and say, I'm sorry. But what would have been great from a public relations point of view is if he'd come up with a couple of words of Arabic.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry.
I mean, how difficult could that be? I mean, it could have been, I'm sorry, or it could have been something. It wouldn't have taken very much. It's no different than going out and, on the campaign trail with Spanish. But I think it would have gone an incredibly long way to try and show that you really were sorry, that you really were making amends, and that you were that you had respect for the culture that you are trying to help.
I don't think he does. Do you? I don't think he does. I don't think he
has. But he does have problems pronouncing. I'm channeling him pronouncing English. Maybe he was too nervous. But I think that would have been an enormous public relations coup. That would have been the soundbite that people would have run over and over.
But he honestly does not believe in making an apology, and he doesn't believe. You know, he has no natural humility, and his pride and his arrogance is just dumbfounding. I think that there are some things he would never be able to do.
No, I wish I could help him with some little phrase. All I can remember to say in Arabic is two waters, which I don't think is going to help him. Ninahwa.
Okay. Well,
could come in useful if you're in the prison.
He does need help, because there are now questions being raised about exactly when the administration knew about this abuse. There are reports that Secretary of State Colin Powell warned Donald Rumsfeld in staff meetings back in January that there were abuses going on in these Iraqi prisons. And, in fact, the International Red Cross says that it repeatedly asked American authorities to take action over the abuse at Abu Ghraib.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there was the report, but General Taguba's report in it it said that the prisoners had been hidden from the Red Cross intentionally.
Yeah, that they had actually moved prisoners around. And
that Red Cross inspectors to the prison would not see them when they came around, and some of the prisoners were not even given numbers.
Yeah.
So that basically there was no record of their being there.
They're not in the system.
Well, didn't Bush claim he didn't see it until it was on television?
Yeah, that's what he claimed. And Rumsfeld said he's never read the Taguba report.
And he's lying.
That is really amazing.
He is lying.
I know. Well,
I mean, if you knew of the Taguba report last week, which he said he did, surely your priority is not to attend the White House dinner, is not to do anything until you've read the whole thing.
Yeah, and he's been caught in the
I have to admit, we haven't read it, okay? But we are not trying to run
the Defense Department.
We're just trying to run a morning
radio show. Yeah. It's a lower standard.
Yeah, a little bit. Not much.
Not much.
Not with Jonathan at the helm. We got to get the news right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, we got to be accurate.
Accurate.
That's why we have poor Susan Lee downstairs checking facts.
Got a lot
from
of people
now
making us accurate.
That's right.
You're making her nervous, Mark.
Uh-oh. Hi, Susan. Up next, part two of our conversation with interrogator Torrin Nelson, the morning devotional, and the Salon.com story of the day, courtesy of Sidney Blumenthal. All ahead on Air America Radio.
At Volunteers of America, we don't just give kids a way to stay off the streets. We give them the tools they need to reach their full potential. We don't just help the elderly receive needed care. We help them live life to the fullest. We don't just provide food for homeless individuals and families. We provide job training and placements so they can buy groceries. Volunteers of America is a national organization that for over 100 years has provided programs and services that allow people to overcome their challenges to become vital members of their community. At Volunteers of America, we don't just help people. We help people help themselves. Find out how you can support the programs that are working in your community. Contact Volunteers of America today. Call 1-800-899-0089. That's 1-800-899-0089.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Senate gets to hear from Defense Secretary Rumsfeld tomorrow on why the prisoner abuse scandal was kept under wraps for so long. The Senate also wants to know why it ever happened at all in the first place. This is calls him out for his resignation. United Nations is reportedly maneuvering to block an outside investigation of his controversial oil for food program. The program has come under international scrutiny for alleged improprieties. Head of the probe, Paul Volcker, is reportedly blocking the outside investigation. A computer science expert has sharply criticized the electronic voting system, saying it is deeply flawed and should not be used in the November elections. John Hopkins University professor Aviel Rubin says paper ballots would be a quick fix. And the state of Texas appeals court yesterday rejected a death row inmate's claim of mental retardation and refused to spare his life. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Preposterous. There are two essential minerals your body needs to build healthy bones. They exist in a 2-to-1 ratio in your bones, calcium and phosphorus. In fact, building your bones with calcium alone is preposterous. That's why there's Posture D, the only leading calcium supplement with both minerals you need to build healthy bones. Look for the orange box, Posture D. It's calcium plus phosphorus. Posture D, because building your bones with calcium alone is preposterous.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
So what else is news?
Same about that Florida thing, because there might be 10,000 more people alive in the world today had the recount gone the other way.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
That's the estimate from the folks at IraqBodyCount.org. The website is made up by researchers looking at the number of civilian deaths during the Iraq War.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Thursday morning. I'm Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition on Air America. We're coming in for landing in our final half hour of Morning Sedition. We've got a big finish today.
Hallelujah.
Until today, little if anything has been heard directly from any of the American interrogators who worked at Abu Ghraib prison. But one of them, Torin Nelson, is not only cooperating with investigators, he contacted us wanting to tell us his story. He declined to give certain details because of the ongoing investigation, but he wanted people to understand a little bit about how the system works and doesn't work. So earlier, we spoke to him by phone from a location outside of this country that we agreed not to disclose. We're picking up the interview as Sue asks Torin about the pictures of abuse that emerged last week.
Would it be fair to say that you were not surprised by the pictures that we have seen, that they seem to be kind of roughly in line with intimidation and abuse that you saw, even though you can't give us precise details?
To some extent, I would have to say that I am not surprised, but to some extent, actually, I am surprised. And let me just say that when I was talking with authorities, they were asking me questions about my conduct or things that I saw. And when they asked me about certain activities, I was so flabbergasted. I thought they were joking, actually, when they talked about, you know, did you witness such and such happening? Did you witness this happening? I thought they were almost comical type of questions. But now, having seen the photos, I actually, you know, really do believe that there definitely is more to just the initial reports that people have been hearing.
Did you feel that maybe did seeing these pictures make you wish that you had spoken out and been more vocal about the things that you did see while you were there?
Definitely. Definitely. This is actually the first time that I've actually witnessed or seen anything of this level. And I, like I said, I've worked around the world. I've worked in many theaters. And this is something, although it seems to be isolated right now, I think that the conditions that we are operating in, that the U.S. military and civilian contractors are operating in currently, if drastic changes aren't made in our operations overall, that this is probably something that won't end, that it will continue on.
You keep drawing a distinction between, you know, a professional interrogator and somebody who is an investigator. And somebody who, you know, who tortures. Now, were some of the contractors who were involved in some of this, or people that you might have worked with or around, did they have no experience in proper interrogation?
I would say that they were probably both on the civilian side and on the military side, unfortunately. And this has been a repeating pattern. And there are a number of causes for it, that there is way too much lack of experience when it comes to the actual people doing the interrogation.
Tara Nelson, former interrogator at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, if you are dealing with a hostile case, what can an interrogator do to get information stopping short of any kind of abuse or torture? What tactics do you recommend?
It requires a qualified professional who is experienced in the background, is experienced in the culture, in the language. There are severe problems right now that current military intelligence operations are facing around the world, not just in Iraq. And if drastic changes, like I say, aren't made, these problems will not go away.
Did you hear any Iraqi complaints? Were they in a position where they could complain?
From the prisoners?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. But you see, the thing is you get a little jaded on the complaints of the prisoners.
Like what kind of complaints exactly?
They would complain about from the time that they were captured to the time that they saw you, that they had just been abused and mistreated and tortured. And, you know, unfortunately, we find out that in many cases that may have actually been the case. Mm-hmm. But also in many cases, I know for a fact, because I observe some of the activities going on, when I observe things, I didn't see, you know, with regards to maybe a specific detainee, I actually observed maybe them going through a processing, and I didn't see any wrongdoing. I mean, I saw, you know, very even-tempered, very neutral type of handling in their case. And then they would later on, you know, mention to me that, you know, they were abused and assaulted and such like that, and I knew for a fact that they were lying. With this, you have to understand that these people, especially in Iraq, they grew up, the vast majority of them have grown up in a society over the last 30, 35 years where they had to lie on a daily basis if they were going to survive. I had a guy that I was sitting with, and we had so much information, so much evidence, and we brought all this stuff forward, and just to refute a cover story that he had been giving us. And as soon as he saw that information and had it translated to him, he immediately changed his story. He just totally dropped the old story and just went on with a brand new cover story as if that was the complete truth, and without even batting an eye. So these are some of the problems that our interrogators today are facing, and it's very frustrating to them. It's very especially frustrating to the less experienced interrogators when they get someone who they know is lying, they've got a cover story, they just get very impatient with them, and so they feel like they have to resort almost immediately to these harsher tactics, which isn't necessary in my opinion.
Tara Nelson, the United States military says they're going to cut in half the number of prisoners at Abu Ghraib. Will that make any difference at all?
Well, all it does is just make Abu Ghraib itself less populated, but where do all those extra prisoners go? I mean, they have to stay in Iraq. They still have to be interrogated. To me, it's a bandage. It's just a short-term solution to a long-term problem. And what really needs to be focused on is how we conduct our operations there, not how many prisoners we have.
Okay, thank you very much, Torin Nelson, professional interrogator who was at the Abu Ghraib prison. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your for having me on your show. One thing I do want to add, though, is that I would like to commend that courageous soldier who came forward with those photos, which started this whole ball rolling. Without that person actually at great peril to them, coming forward with this information, we would not be sitting here talking about this subject today, and who knows what might still be going on, and these problems might never be solved.
No, well, thank you for adding that. Torin Nelson, thanks for being with us.
Yes, that was Torin Nelson, and he wants congressional investigators to contact him, so feel free to get in touch with us if you need to contact him.
I hope they will, and we need more Torin Nelsons. I admire him for being incredibly conscientious and having a lot of integrity and believing that the quality of intelligence that you get from people depends on treating them fairly and following kind of international rules and actually basic rules of human decency. It's a very, very tough job to be a skilled interrogator. It takes an enormous amount of psychological training. And it works if you do it right.
It works if you work it. When we come back, Sidney Blumenthal tells us what political price will be paid for the abuse at Abu Ghraib. Plus, we'll have the liberal agenda when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
In this corner, weighing several tons, the challenger, your host!
course it should, bud. Oh, there's the bell.
Oh, wildfire just charged out of that corner like a wildfire.
Yeah, but it can't seem to get anywhere near house.
That's because house is landscaped with water-retaining plants, which help keep wildfire at a safe distance.
And, bud, check out how wildfire's punches seem to roll off that treated shingle roof.
Holy smokes, Lou! Wildfire is wearing out like a cheap suit. Oh, wildfire is down!
Down and out.
Can your house win a fight with wildfire? Visit Firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. That's Firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Darius Rucker and the boys from Hootie and the Blowfish. We have an important message for you. If you're an adult, 21 or over, it's fine to have a drink while you're enjoying an evening with good friends. What's not right is overdoing it. When you drink too much, you're probably not quite as much fun as you think.
Yeah, if you do drink, please do it responsibly. If you go out with a group and there's going to be drinking, have a designated driver. Don't you think, Dino?
Mark is right. The good news is that the most recent statistics show that underage drinking is declining. They also show the lowest levels of traffic deaths involving alcohol since they started keeping track.
But we can all do more, Dean. It's Sony, asking you to remember that we all need to do our part by drinking responsibly and keep things going in the right direction.
This message is brought to you by the members of the National Beer Wholesalers Association, committed to encouraging responsible consumption of its products.
Good morning. It's Thursday, National Day of Prayer.
Amen.
I'm Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. We've got Sidney Blumenthal from SoOn.com coming up in a minute, but right now it's time on National Prayer Day of Prayer Day for our morning devotional. Of course, we do this every day, but today is special. Dear Lord, on this National Day of Prayer, we'd like to thank you for giving us a president that governs according to your teachings in the Bible. For instance, James chapter 4, verse 6, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, bad example. What about Matthew chapter 19, verse 21? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Well, I'm no theologian, but tax cuts for the richest 1% doesn't really fit into that now, does it? Okay, all right. How about this? Chapter 5, verse 39 of Matthew. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. All right. Jesus probably wasn't talking about campaign ads, but it's hard to see how that doesn't apply. I can't imagine him accusing the Pharisees of flip-flopping. You know what, George W., maybe he's more of an Old Testament guy. Let's look there. Okay. Thou shalt not kill. Ooh, all right. You know what? Let's just move on. Wait, here's one. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ox. Yes. To my knowledge, George W. Bush has been absolutely steadfast on that one.
He has no oxen on that ranch, does he?
Yo, thank you, Lord. He's got no animals at all. Thank you, Lord, for not giving us an ox coveter. Amen.
By the way, you know what the next line to that is?
What?
After thy neighbor's ox?
What?
Thy neighbor's ass.
Oh, yeah, he might do that. I don't know. Not surprisingly, Abu Ghraib is today's SoOn.com story of the day. And joining us now is SoOn.com's Washington Bureau Chief, Sidney Blumenthal. Good morning, Sidney.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're pretty good. It's been a pretty good day. Yourself?
I'm all right.
Good. All right. So what's happening with Rummy? Tomorrow.
Well, Rumsfeld depends on what verb was used with Rumsfeld, depending on the paper used. He was chastised, he was scolded, he was chided. No one knows what exact words were used by George W. Bush in speaking to Donald Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
To spank him, another verb. What was said to him? No one knows. But he is to appear tomorrow in public, for the first time in a public hearing in a long time, before the Senate Armed Services Committee. Me, I'm sort of interested in seeing Hillary question Donald Rumsfeld.
Why?
I'm looking forward to that.
Because she's going to give him hell?
Well, I think she's, in seniority, ranks near the bottom. She's a freshman senator, and all the questions may have been asked, but I'm looking forward to that confrontation.
She probably made Bill cry.
Well, I think Rumsfeld is in a good deal of trouble, but I want to know why it doesn't rise higher. I thought that Bush was the commander-in-chief.
Right.
And he's the one who called himself the war president. It was Harry Truman who put the plaque on his desk that said the buck stops here. Well, does it? Now, Rumsfeld claims not to have still read the devastating report on torture in the Abu Ghraib prison.
I think he's lying, don't you?
I think it's possible that he's lying. It's possible. He may not quite tell the entire truth tomorrow, although he'd be under oath. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Richard Myers, said last Sunday on three different shows he has not read the report, although he asked CBS News 60 Minutes to suppress reports on it.
But, Sidney, now, they may not have read the report, but there are published reports that say that Colin Powell brought up the issue of the treatment of prisoners in Abu Ghraib to Donald Rumsfeld in January.
Well, the report was commissioned in January, so it was well known. Powell himself yesterday raised the issue of Me Lai. Bush has been going around trashing John Kerry, and right-wing groups have been trashing Kerry because he was a Vietnam War protester and talked about atrocities in Vietnam. The year he did that was the year of My Lai, exactly what Colin Powell was talking about, a massacre of hundreds of Vietnamese men, women, and children. Powell was involved in the investigation into My Lai. As the New York Times notes this morning on the front page, this was not in the administration talking points to compare My Lai to Abu Ghraib. But Powell is seriously, off message with the administration.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Sidney. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Read Sidney's column in Salon.com. We will be back here with Liberal Agenda, a little insight into the porn hearings, and some other stuff here on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
There's a vacation village near Orlando that is unlike any resort in the world. It's for special kids with life-threatening illnesses. It's called Give Kids the World Village, and it provides a week of fun and relaxation for kids and their families. A week of simple pleasures that would make any child smile. Swimming pools, visits to local Orlando theme parks, and unlimited ice cream. A week to live in the moment and to make memories that will last a lifetime. All for free, for their families, too. To find out how you can bring joy into the life of a very sick child, call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org. And please, help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon Stone, and I'd like to thank you for your continued support in the fight against AIDS. I'm the campaign chairman for AMFAR, the American Foundation for AIDS Research. And together, with your help, we can do the kind of cutting-edge research that is helping people with HIV live enriched, extended lives. But AIDS is not over. The current drugs are not an answer. More people are contracting AIDS every year. We need your help. We need a vaccine. It's not easy work, and it's not inexpensive. Let's not let this be our legacy for our children. Call 1-800-39-AMFAR. In the fight against AIDS, we've bought time. More research will buy answers. So please call 1-800-39-AMFAR. Thank you.
Honey, you've been at that desk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Take a break.
Let's go out and look for the baby furniture.
Not right now, Jackie. I'm still trying to figure out how we'll do without your paycheck.
Oh, I'm only taking a 3-month leave.
But then there'll be daycare.
We probably ought to have more insurance, too. And start saving for college.
Right now, I wish when I was in college, I'd majored in financial planning instead of engineering.
We could go to someone with financial planning expertise.
Yeah, but how would we know we're getting someone who'd look at all our needs, not just try to sell us an investment plan?
If you find you need the help of a financial planner but are not sure how to find one who is competent, ethical, and will develop a plan based on your needs, you can get help from Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, a nonprofit certifying agency. For a free brochure, 10 questions to ask when choosing a financial planner, call toll-free 1-888-CFP-MARK. CFP is in Certified Financial Planner and MARK. Or visit CFP.net.
Good morning. It's Thursday. I'm Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We've had quite a day.
And we're not finished yet.
We're not finished yet. We're going to talk a little bit more about National Day of Prayer or religion-themed discussion. But right now, there's a porn hearing. There's a House... The House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee is meeting today. The topic, online pornography, closing the doors on pervasive smut. And we managed to get a list of the agenda items, you know, for my guy who's got the thing at the place.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the discussion groups, we've got the here are the agenda items. We've got topic one, why the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee needs to spend your tax dollars studying internet porn. Topic two, decoding acronym. What the hell is a MILF? Topic three, eliminate web terms susceptible to double entendres, like download, hard drive, pop-up. Topic four, find out who's responsible for the website House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee VoyeurWebcam.com. And, of course, topic five, how does she do that?
Who's the chair of the committee?
Looking at me now.
Uh-huh.
You're looking at me with a kind of, okay, I dare you, Sue. I dare you. I dare you. I dare you. I go
come
there. I dare you. I go
come
there.
On.
Come on.
Come
out
on.
With it. Come on out with it.
We had to tell Sue what a MILF was a few weeks ago.
I still don't remember. I was about to have to ask another time. You can tell me after. I don't want any more of that kind of embarrassment of me on the show.
What do you got? A little religion item?
Yeah, there's this thing I saw today in the Wall Street Journal, how pop culture gets religion. Apparently people are going around, especially in L.A., including Madonna and Pamela Anderson and Lara Flynn Boyle, wearing Jesus is my homeboy and Mary is my homegirl T-shirts. Mm. Let me just say that Pamela Anderson does not look like Lara Flynn Boyle wearing hers.
I've got some rally information for the National Day of Prayer.
You're going to get every agnostic in America.
The reaction to the National Day of Prayer. There's a National Day of Reason rally scheduled today at 1 p.m. on the steps of the Pennsylvania State Capitol Building in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, immediately after a Christian group finishes its Day of Prayer rally. There's also more rallies, National Day of Prayer protests, and those are in New Jersey. You can get information on that at atheist.org/NJ. There's a few events in New Jersey.
Do you think they'll be wearing the T-shirt? I have kind of missed that whole thing of it becoming hip to be kind of blatantly disrespectful of Christianity, I guess.
Yeah, my wife
is so slow. I'm just so slow.
Oh, is that disrespectful?
But you know what's weird?
It's either ironic. It's either for people who are believers, it's kind of this kind of hip thing. It's a commercial kind of it's fashionable, but it's also there's a big ironic streak going on as well. It's either love it or hate it, but they're wearing the same T-shirts as one another.
But I actually think some of the T-shirts in their original state, what they were meant for, which is for Christians, believing Christians, when they start making Christianity hip, I think some of that might be disrespectful. I used to have a T-shirt that actually had Christ, pressing, he had the cross on his back, and it looked like he was trying to do a push-up.
Oh, my
And it
God.
Said, his pain, your gain.
Wow.
And it was like a gym T-shirt ripoff. And I think that's a little disrespectful, even though it was meant for, Christians.
Well, you
I got yelled at once for... I got yelled at once for this really funny Elvis T-shirt that said underneath, I'm dead.
Well, you can't mess with Elvis.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Don't mess with the king.
Exactly. You can't mess with Elvis. So how? But they're messing with Jesus. What's that all about?
I used to do a joke that, big one, it was years ago, about digging Elvis up. We don't need to go there. But it was funny.
But you moved on. You moved on, Mark.
I did move on.
Thank goodness.
Got a little response about some of our, you know, I was talking about Barbara Streisand yesterday, and I made a comment.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, but no, this guy just wrote, he said, enjoy the show, guys. Yes, I'm gay. I'm a gay man that loves Barbara Streisand, but I get the joke of a liberal agenda, and I know it's all made out of clean fun. Yeah, and here it is.
Here it is.
Good timing.
Nice and clean.
Here's our liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. These are your marching orders. Get your pen. One, come up with a better, more worthy alternative word than American for Native Americans. Two, pass by government office, see many people doing nothing, say that's the way it should be. Three, encourage children to play house with same-sex couples. Four, during vegan lunch, have a moment of silence for plants that gave their lives. And five, lobby state legislator to remove God from Godzilla. That's our liberal agenda for today and our show.
Is our show over?
It's sad.
Come on, let's hold it over. Lock the door.
Let's stay here all day.
Let the crew. No, I'm only kidding. They're on their way up now, I'm sure. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, we'll get some high-level help with the new unemployment numbers. Plus, we'll dive into the world of conspiracies. That's tomorrow's morning's edition right here on Air America Radio.
I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week, we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
To match your pretty eyes.
Nope. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more.
Who taught you that?
Mommy.
By 6th grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, which they'll need for most future jobs. Keep her interest alive. For ideas, go to girlsgotech.org. It's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York.